sentence.
It's a run-on sentence. It's a non sequitur.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Do you ever run into a lot of sequiturs?
I do.
Do they run
are they
on?
The guys with like half horse legs?
Half horse legs.
The legs are all horse.
Oh, the legs are all horse. I thought it was like half the legs were horse.
It's 1:15 a.m. Wedge, get off my back.
They have horse
that's
legs, but strangely enough, human
says.
Feet.
It's the shittiest.
Well, yes. They do have a tendency to poop just wherever they like.
Also, get off my back is one of those horse guys always tell people to.
That's what I said. Thanks for retelling my joke.
No one heard it, John. No one heard it.
Oh, Aaron, that was a funny joke. Well done, Aaron.
If John tells a joke in the woods, does
it's those
tree
levels of jokes
fall?
That got me on the guest list.
Wow. You're such a whore.
Just don't sleep. And I'm sorry, guys. I massive Skype shut down, and then I had to do like 4 restarts. And yeah. Thanks, Widge, for giving me your computer problems.
That's okay. I said bye for you, so it's no worries.
Thanks. You did the bye? Okay, good.
Yes, I did. I did
yes.
Something like that.
You lie.
I've been drinking gin.
All right.
Oh, God. No, you haven't. Really?
Yes, I have.
What are you, a grandmother?
Are you using
No.
Lee's got some good recipes for gin.
I do.
What I did is I mashed up some blueberries.
Very good.
Squeezed in a quarter of a lime. Well, I muddled some a lime and
muddled a lime
and
yes.
The blueberries. Then put some gin, some rum, some orange juice, and topped it off with a little bit of 7-Up, and and a bunch of ice, and then rimmed the glass with salt. Actually,
whoa,
rimmed the
glass
with salt. First.
Whoa.
Yes,
that sounds like a lot of work.
I did a rim job.
We're all adults here. You can continue.
And now, of course, I'm drinking gin, which is never good for me.
What does gin
do? You get blossoms?
Funny. Hilarious.
No, you can. If you have too much, you can get hives. That's what gin blossoms are.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a band.
I'm snipping a Sharpie marker. How's that?
I thought the hives were just a band.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Rob is calling from a time machine.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
There. All right. Is that better?
Yeah. God, yes.
It's what were what you doing? Were you in the bathroom? And you left your phone out in the kitchen?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then that's acceptable.
There you go.
Who hasn't called from their bathroom? I mean, right now I'm in my bathroom.
I'm not in my bathroom, but I'm peeing.
Awesome.
So,
they have bathrooms in Ireland?
No.
Wow.
That's the point.
The reason why he doesn't want to go to the bathroom is it's outside.
There's only 14
people
in Ireland.
Get through all that
so.
Snow and whatnot.
All the leprechauns he's got to step on.
Hmm. Hey, why don't you just eat a burger and get fat?
Too late.
Oh, I'm not the only one allowed to make these jokes.
That's Mexico now, baby. We're not the fattest nation anymore.
Is that true?
Yeah,
Mexico surpassed us.
Woohoo! Yeah, we're number two.
Number two.
We're number two. Wait, what does that mean? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's think about that.
It means we're the shit, yo.
Jesus.
Hey, speaking of, can we move on? I can ask John this. John, DreamCon, yes?
Yes. August.
Next year, DreamCon. I had fun at DreamCon. I'll let you know.
Seriously?
I did too.
I had fun at DreamCon.
No.
August.
Seriously, another DreamCon?
August
2nd.
Yes! August 2nd.
In Orlando, Scott.
August,
Scott, when did you get here?
August
I
2nd.
Have no idea.
August 2nd to the 4th.
Yes, I saw that. Very good.
Wow. For you. Week before DC. Oh, God. A month before DC. Shit.
Right.
You guys are going to be exhausted.
Are you going?
So how much help do you need from me?
She gets him free, doesn't she?
I get him for free.
No, he's already paid you back for that. You don't get any more.
Shut up, Lee. That was Ron. That was between Ron and myself. Not
except
John.
That you bitched about it all the time. Every year to Ron. It was hysterically.
How exactly did he pay you?
Is that how Ron worked his debt off to you last year? Is that why he was in your room?
I'm glad you guys are coming. It's gonna be fun. I hate you, John.
Yeah.
All right. So what?
Why? It's at Rox's expense.
I know. Ron naps without his shirt on. Just so you know.
Ron did.
Ron is like practically naked.
That is an awesome story too, because I said
it is.
Ron will be
asleep.
We're
walking down the hallway, and John, right before we open the door,
Ron will be asleep. Right, your room
waits,
will be a mess.
He waits till we're like 5 feet from the door. I'm putting the key into the door. He's like, "Oh, by the way, Ron, go ahead."
Ron will be asleep in your bed, and your room will be a mess. Sure enough,
the nest.
Yeah, it was. It's like all I can imagine. He walks in and sheds all of his clothes, and it just goes everywhere. And
it
burrows into the bed.
Not only does he shed his clothes, but like he empties his entire suitcase, all of his food. It's like everywhere. All of a sudden, it's like...
Yeah. It's like, wow. We've been, and the thing is we weren't gone an hour or so. It's like, oh, okay. How did, okay. So, yeah. He scared Scott.
Yeah, he That's did. I right. mean, I thought there was...
Because he sleeps like a mole or something. He burrows, and he makes this
nest. I thought it was just a lump of clothes, and then I poke it, and it moves.
He pokes
it's like,
it. It's like, no, Scott.
Scott goes, happy birthday to me.
Whoa.
No, I was starving.
That's what I'm like, Ron, you need to go. Your family's here. I really do need 27 inches. Good time.
The Methvin Nest. Yeah. Absolutely.
So are you guys aiming for a big convention?
Who's you guys?
I don't know. Are
John's
you
just attending.
I'm attending. I'm volunteering, and that's the extent of it.
All right.
As is serve. And hopefully all of you guys will be attending, too.
I know.
All you out there in listening land, go to DreamCon.
Which is coming down, right?
Really?
Is your plan to come down, Widge, or no?
If possible, yeah.
All right.
If not, we'll come get your ass.
Well, that's part of the reason to come down.
Yeah.
And there's Disney. Disney's right there.
Where are you having Actually, it? Universal where's the Methvins having this?
I can't say just yet. Oh, I do know, but I can't say just yet.
Just in
the paperwork.
Orlando proper?
Yeah, the paperwork is not signed. We can say it's in the
It's in the resort area.
The resort area, yeah. The
on iDrive
theme park area.
It is in resort areas.
Yes.
Whatever that means. That means iDrive.
Maybe you are.
Anyway, so congrats on DreamCon.
Why don't congratulate me?
Well, you know him, Ron. Congrats. There you go.
We'll do everything we can to make it a success, aside from laying out bunches of cash.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Other than that, we're in, 100%.
The funny thing is, I'm listening to Pat Henry. Yeah, we laid out $300 each. I'm like, really? That's it?
Cute.
It must be nice. $300 each.
That's what they started with. Do remember. Yeah.
Must be nice, only 300.
Huh? Yeah, but remember, this was, what, 1980-something?
Yeah,
$300.
So $300 was a lot back then.
It was like $350 today.
Yeah, and out of that was like Forrest Ackerman free to attend. It's like, I'll show up. I love conventions. I'm Forrest Ackerman.
Enjoy my rum.
I love Forrest Ackerman.
So is a podcast happening? What's going on?
Yeah, that's what I
thought we had.
DreamCon is the start of
Hey JJ,
podcast.
You're on Weekend Justice.
I was going to go away before it started, but okay. Hi.
Hey, just, you know what? Put your voice a couple octaves higher and you can sit in as Kim.
Oh,
higher, higher. Just saying.
Here, I'll give you something.
I only had one. I wanted more.
It's called syphilis.
Wow.
I only had one. I wanted more.
Kim's voice is not syphilis.
No. Kim's voice is fantastic, actually.
It is.
No, it's like
candy coated evil. I can't perfect that myself. You get it's, me. Yeah. I can't do it. She's
so
amazing.
So sweet and kind. It's oh.
And she, and she's got a knife in your spine.
She pulls Kim, you Kim, in and then punches Kim, you right
I
in
was
the
about
face.
To say, Kim isn't... Okay, good.
She is our candy-coated princess of darkness.
Ah.
That's right. I gave her that nickname.
Well, she earned it.
Yeah, she did.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't achieve that level of sweetness. I can't do it.
What I would like to see is a candy-coated prince of darkness, which would be a Tim Curry action figure from Legend, but dipped into some sort of, you know, candy coating.
I thought it would be like whatever that swirling mass of goo was from Prince of Darkness.
It's just Alice Cooper, right?
You know, Susan, radiologist, glasses.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Nobody.
You're wearing your blue jumper.
Nobody. Oh God.
What? It's
never
late.
Mind.
What is no? What?
That is a reoccurring theme in the movie Prince of Darkness.
I when hated Su- that movie.
When Su- what?
Uh oh.
Who let him in?
JJ gets on and
damn.
JJ's now off.
I've always
you know, felt that's
one time you're on Weekend Justice.
I've always felt that the Carpenter's hit and miss, and that film I did not understand exactly what he was trying to say. It was not my favorite.
Listen, Karen Carpenter was fantastic.
Only just begun.
JJ, he was trying to say, you know, if I could put Satan in a bottle, the first thing
that's
that
Jim Croce.
Oh, sorry.
God.
You're
come on, witch.
And crossed over on all the soft listening.
It just seems like whenever John Carpenter and bands that I like combine, it's movies that I don't fully understand what he wants to do. There's that one, and then Anthrax did the score to Ghosts of Mars, and that movie was horrid.
Okay, Ghosts of Mars was ass, but my thing about Prince of Darkness was it was just, you know, Satan versus science in a church, an abandoned church. There wasn't much to it. There wasn't anything to say. It was just there. And it was insane.
Maybe I will try it again at a time where I'm not angry at it.
No. Just go into it and just it's a popcorn crazy movie. I mean,
okay. So expect less.
Where else can you? No, really. I mean, come on. It's John Carpenter these days. That's all you can do, right? So, right. I mean, where else could you get Donald Pleasance? You know, Alice Cooper. That guy from Simon and Simon, the guy from Riptide. I mean, it's what an insane cast. And Tachyons. I'm in.
There was Sharknado, though, on this past week, and it was awesome.
So you watched, Lee, you actually watched
Oh, Sharknado? Hell yeah, I watched it. Hell yes. It was awesome.
So was it everything you wanted?
It defied every law of biology and physics I know. It was terrible acting. It was impossible ideas and scenes. It was brilliant. And some people kept saying, oh, they're losing brain cells watching this. I'm like, no. See, your brain is actually gaining cells because it's trying to figure out how this could possibly be possible. So it was awesome.
See, Lee, I actually had an idea for a sci-fi original. See what you think of this.
Mm-hmm.
I call it Tornado-Nado. And that it's a tornado filled with a bunch of other tornadoes.
Write it up, man. That'll be awesome.
What about Tornado NATO, which is a tornado filled with peacekeeping forces from international world?
I'm buying
or
that
what about
one.
Tornado I like Tomato?
I like Sasquatch. I like Sasquatch NATO.
There was now, a great there was a great mock-up I saw online for a possible sequel for Sharknado, which was Sharkalunch. With the tagline of, well, snow is basically water, the science here is sound, which I quite like.
See, I was waiting for Tidal NATO when a huge wave carrying a bunch of tornadoes over the ocean hit way far inland and just destroy everything.
See, I like Squidicane, where it's a hurricane, but it's filled with squid.
Awesome.
And your soundtrack song is squared off straight away.
This sounds like a Funfest game.
Sharknado was brilliant, and Kidlet was like, this makes no sense. I'm like, of course it makes no damn sense. What the hell? It's great. Right.
So here's the question then.
Oh, no. It's sad.
Despite the malnourishment. So, who all saw Pacific Rim?
Me.
Not yet.
Me.
Not yet.
We saw the Minions.
I'm going to see on Friday, by the time this goes live, The World's End.
Me.
2 months before the rest of you.
Me.
I live in Europe. Me.
Hang on. Me. I think the appropriate response to that is fuck off.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah?
We would have accepted fuck you.
There's press screenings Thursday.
Well, me and you can both be smug together. It'll be great.
Okay. I'm not going to go because I'm going to wait till it comes out. I want to see it with in a theater with people.
Not Europeans.
What is this thing you're talking about? I don't even know what it is.
The Simon Pegg movie.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes.
It crossed. Yep.
Got it now.
Yep.
So,
and I get dissed for not liking an old Carpenter film? You don't even know an Edgar Wright film coming out? I'm embarrassed, Lee.
That's how it works around here.
She's old. We let her away with this sort of stuff.
Hold on. She's not old. Leave her alone.
Well, remember, Rob, to be fair, Aaron is only 16, so everyone to him is
Aaron
old.
Is a baby.
Mm. I'm a teen sensation. Scott, I'm still freaked out that you're on the call. What's the deal?
What are you talking about?
Well, first of all, your mic's good. Like, what happened since the last time I was on this show?
Oh, it was a couple weeks ago I noticed it. It's like, wow, Scott, you got a new mic.
So Scott, what did you think of Pacific Rim?
I thought it was really great, and it really defied a lot of expectations you get from stuff like that. And I can't really describe like some of the stuff because, you know, spoilers and things. But for one, I think I can talk about Idris Elba played like the asshole disciplinarian commander in a way that you didn't want to kill him.
Oh, he was
which
fantastic.
I thought was refreshing because I think anybody else would have played him like that. But Idris Elba played him with just the right hint of, you know, vulnerability that you didn't think he was a complete asshole with a stick up his butt.
Yeah, that was good.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
It doesn't even sound like Scott. It's like completely different. I'm not really.
I know.
I'm freaking out right now.
He got a new mic and it came with lithium.
It's the testosterone pills.
And by that he means the Nirvana album.
Yes.
Testosterone pills?
Yes. Now, Rox, you saw it?
Mm-hmm.
I assume you were pleased.
Oh, yeah. I like that stuff.
Now, John, you saw it, didn't you?
Saw what?
Pacific Rim.
I just came back. Sorry. Yes. Oh my God.
I don't think you liked it at all.
Oh, it was the most awesome thing I've seen in a long time.
It's summer. Yeah. It's a summer film. It's awesome.
Here's the deal. I walked into the theater. It was 9 a.m. and on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I got the 9:15 showing, and they said, oh, it's in Theater 19. And I started to walk towards Theater 19, and I realized, oh, Theater 19 is around the corner, which means it's in a small theater. And I'm like, and so I turned around and I said, and I knew that 9:30 was the IMAX 3D. And so I said, all right, screw it. I'm the only person, because my son didn't want to go. I don't know why.
He didn't want to go?
I know. I've failed as a parent.
How did that?
Yeah, what was his excuse?
Are you sure he's yours?
I know. He
said it doesn't sound like something I'd be into.
What?
I went, it's big monsters fighting large robots.
Okay, I think we need to have an intervention.
So anyway.
Bring the child to Dragon Con and we'll all have a talk with him.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Oh my god, you have one of those kids that he's not a nerd.
Oh no, he's a nerd.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
He certainly is. He's into all the nerd. Lee can tell you. He's into all the nerd things.
John's raised him right.
He's just embarrassed by you. Is that it?
That's probably. He didn't want to be seen in public with his old man.
All right.
But
okay,
anyway,
okay.
So that, I wound up going to the 930 IMAX 3D, which I am so glad that I did. It was so awesome. Even though, I don't know, did you see it in IMAX 3D, Widge?
Yeah, I did.
Were there some times where it was out of focus for you?
You go to an early one, John, sometimes because they have to adjust it from overnight or something like that. I've had an early show where they were adjusting.
It's like, well, I mean, some of the words were like, they seem to be, some of the subtitles mm-hmm. Seem to be like out of phase just slightly. It could be that I'm also, you know, old, but I doubt that's the case.
I didn't have a problem with it. The only problem I had was that the previews were like, I'm so loud. I've never had Wizard of Oz hurt my ears before. I mean, that was fucked.
What is the deal with Wizard of Oz? Is that something someone was asking for?
Well, see, it's this movie that came out about the same time as Gone with the Wind. And it's sort of like a cultural phenomenon.
I guess, but I don't know that anybody was really asking for it. It's like saying someone wants to see Casablanca in the movie theater again. There's no reason for that.
But see, Jesus. Captain America understood the Wizard of Oz joke in the Avengers, and so everybody went, oh, hell, it better come out if it's attached to the Avengers.
Right.
And also, is it like the 75th anniversary?
I think so.
That means that Wizard of Oz will be in Whedonverse.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and one other thing. Idris Elba, if he hasn't done this already, must do the St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
I used to know that thing by heart. It was my monologue for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am. I just don't understand why Pacific Rim did as badly as it did in the box office.
Well,
I don't get it.
Because Grown Ups 2 is so much better.
It's not that it did badly.
Time out.
Rox was talking.
It's the same thing what we've all agreed with Sky Captain. Okay? Nobody understands big monsters. I mean, it's like I think everybody has been burned by the remake of Godzilla. You know, we understand large monsters and stuff. We're all fans of the large monster thing. I honestly think it's one of those things. It's like, it's big monster. No, we've been burned by that. I'll bet anything that's what a lot of people like. John's son. We'll use John's son as this. He's been burned by bad movies of remakes by, you know, big giant monsters.
He saw Godzilla
ugly.
And said,
"Part of it though." Drafts and it was bad.
It's one of those things. I'll bet anything. It's like one of the. It's like Sky Captain. Love Sky Captain. I'm like, I was thrilled when it came out. I'm like, oh my god, there was nobody in the theater.
I know. Well,
here's the thing: is Shrek was the same way. It went by word of mouth. That it's like, why isn't anyone here? This is like an adult cartoon. How come no one's here? And then all of a sudden, word of mouth. And then all of a sudden, you know, Shrek franchise is a juggernaut.
Well, here's the thing though, Rox, is that with Sky Captain, you sort of had to be familiar with adventure serials that were so old that only people like us would know what they were.
But there was giant monsters in it. There were planes and things. I saw with my sister. This was a couple years ago. I couldn't believe what was it? Grown Ups 2 outdid it? I saw Grown Ups 1 and I'm like, oh dear God! Why do I sit amongst my family and see this horrible movie? It was horrible. The first one was horrible. How they made a second one, I don't know.
It's called lots of money. It made like what was it, $245 million or something?
It was crap. Yeah. The first film was crap.
So, Rob, what were you going to say?
I hope she wasn't waiting for a counterpoint.
I know.
Part of it is that. Pacific Rim is one of those films you have to see in a big, large theater. And a lot of theaters got contracted to show Superman for a certain number, like 6 to 8 weeks in their main house. So that's the first problem. So a lot of people can't put it in the main house if it's a small theater until they get rid of Superman. The other thing is they did buys for the movie, but the people that put out the sequel for, that Roxy's talked about. That's so horrible. I'm going to name it. Anyway, Well, they bought the one thing they did is they bought a ton of advertising time on non-traditional outlets, meaning not just, I mean, they bought a ton of radio ads, but they also put, you know, their people were on like ESPN and all these sort of cross different avenues for getting their movie out, to where they pretty much saturated the market advertising. They sunk about a third of the budget. As much as that movie cost to make, they spent about a third of that much in marketing it, and then also in buys, meaning they simply knew that movie was coming out on a quote-unquote soft weekend. So they made sure that for like in every AMC that they could possibly get, it was on more than one screen. So what they'll do is they'll put it in two screens in the theater to block out another film from getting in there, because then their take out of the gate is higher, and they make more money on the back end on the world distribution out of it. So a lot of times, if a movie is mediocre, they will buy out like one or two theaters for it, and then that way it closes out, it closes the gap if there's a competition. So in many ways, Pacific Rim's timing is bad. There's not really a time to put it because there's a ton of other things that are still showing in main houses. Now, places like Atlanta, New York, and Chicago, there's room because they have multiple theaters that can do that. But when you start going farther out into small markets like Kansas City or Indianapolis, where they have theaters that, you know, they'll have a 14-screen theater, but only one has an IMAX or only one has a 3D, then people will wait till it goes into that. The other thing, too, is that, you know, I think there's a certain thing about trying to explain what that movie is about to people. But what I don't understand is you watch it. Okay, it's got robots and fucking monsters in it. You went to see Transformers. What's wrong with you? You know, I mean, to me, it was probably the best movie of the summer. And
yeah, so far, by far.
And I've taken a lot of heat for that. But, I mean, there's so many things that work great in it. Idris Elba's great in it. The robots are great. The monsters are great. Sam Rockwell's great. Surprisingly, who would have known? Rock's back. You know, Bern Gorman can do comedy. I never saw that coming.
Oh, my God, yes. No.
Never saw that coming. And, and even Ron Perlman was great. I mean, every one of these actors that's in that movie is in a movie with another quote-unquote sort of heavyweight actor, meaning no one is a superstar, but there's lots of really good, solid character actors.
Yeah.
So everybody is sort of trying to steal the movie, and it's made everyone step their game up.
Mm-hmm.
But they do that in an action movie, which never happens, you know? Well, and again, Idris Elba, he's awesome. You know, if you don't know anything at all about any of his other work, that's fine. You could just see him with this and realize this guy's pretty great. And, you know.
Here's a question. Yeah. How's it done internationally?
It's done better internationally. They've done so far, let's see, 53 million foreign versus 41 here. Worldwide, they have only done 94.3.
See, that might save it because I can't see.
Oh, it's going to save it.
Yeah, I can't see Cronus playing in China.
Yeah, if it doesn't do well in Japan, this will be a bigger mystery to me than fucking Dread not doing well in the UK. Right?
Yeah.
Because Dread
was really good.
Was pretty good, a pretty decent film, and
yeah.
did poorly everywhere, including its home. It's like, how does how does fucking Dread not do well in the UK?
Well, I think Dread has something in common with Pacific Rim, at least from the people that I have talked to here, and the fact that, you know, Warner Brothers spent so much time and money trying to make sure that Superman went over. They were like, the official word was that the robots will sell themselves. But
good point.
Enough people that I have talked to were so upset with the Transformers movies, and, you know, the general public isn't, unfortunately, as movie smart as most of us, and so they don't realize, they just think it's going to be another Transformers film, and the name Guillermo del Toro doesn't mean enough to them.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you from our family's perspective, we were thinking about going and seeing it on Saturday, kind of talked about it and everything else. The 14-year-old was the one who said no.
Oh wow! Again,
he literally said, and we're probably now going to go see it at some point. But he was the one who was like, I nothing has made me want to go see that. He wanted. We went to go see Monsters University last week, but he had no desire to go see Pacific Rim.
Wow.
Okay, Lee.
Yeah.
And again, Rox can chime in on this. Kidlet might be on Derelict Scout probation.
That's okay.
And it could be that he's just hungry and he was, you know, out of his
mouth. I mean, to me, it reminded me really of, you know, I'm the oldest one here, is the whole Gigantor cartoon.
Yeah.
In the 60s. That's what I fell in love with. And, you know, I've got several Gigantor stuff in the house. Okay, anyway.
What was his reasoning? I mean, was it just like, I don't know.
His reasoning was that he has not seen anything that made him want to go see it. The trailers, the commercials he's seen, he's like, whatever. Now, does he want to go see Wolverine? Did we go see Man of Steel, Star Trek, others that did pull him in? Yeah, but so far he's like, there wasn't a hook. And I don't know if you guys heard me because I was having some problems. I honestly think this is going to be that kind of a word of mouth movie. I think it's going to do better this week and next week. Because more and more people will be like, okay, it's not what I thought it was going to be, Transformers or Godzilla or whatever the hell it was. I think that's what's going to get some people in there.
I'm with you. Ridge.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
You need to pick that child up, frog march him to the damn cinema.
Well, okay, first of all, have you seen how big he is? I don't think I can pick him up. Shit.
There's no frog marching him.
Yeah, and what is frog marching?
He's pretty tall.
What is frog marching? Anyways?
What does this have to do with the French?
No.
Now, this week it's up against this week it is up against the juggernauts of Red 2, Turbo, and RIPD. So,
oh, Jesus. RIPD.
Yeah. RIPD. Don't get me started.
Oh, have you seen it?
I'm going to go Thursday. There was a screening Thursday, and there was an afternoon press screening, but a buddy of mine from the press screening said that a bunch of the film people were leaving. So that's a...
Well, because
But again, that's another one of those movies that you can't really sell to somebody if they don't buy into it.
Well, that's another movie where if anyone's seen any of the Men in Black films, they'll just recognize that it's a Men in Black 4 script that basically got rejected and got turned into something else. Because I swear to fuck, that's what that is. That is exactly what that is.
Oh my God, that's what I thought it was when I saw the trailer. I'm like, why is it Men in Black? Yeah.
The one thing that gives me a little bit of hope...
Thursday after.
Go ahead. Sorry, Rob.
No,
we did it again.
Hey,
JJ.
Hey, JJ. Welcome to Weekend
Justice. Welcome to Weekend Justice. JJ
comes at ages, breaks everything. Fuck. Rob, you first. Go.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll ping you Thursday after I see it.
Please do. All right.
JJ, I didn't know it was a.
What gives you hope, JJ?
It's a small fraction of hope, but I know that Jeff Bridges in general doesn't like to work. And so if he's actually doing the work, there might be something there that he at least saw in the script. I'm not saying it's going to be in the final project, but there has to be something there.
Well, but JJ, funny. he apparently, he may not like to work, but he does like to work with funny voices, because have you seen the Seventh Son trailer? He's there doing another funny voice.
Yeah, but as it seems like as he's getting older, his real voice is getting funnier. He's turning into his character from True Grit.
I do not know this man. It's almost like Sling Blade.
Now, there isn't currently a consensus on Red 2, although I think we can all agree what the consensus should be. But three out of the four posted reviews on Rotten Tomatoes are horrible. It's horrible. RIPD looks like it hasn't had any.
No. I'm amazed they're actually doing press screenings for RIPD.
Or at least they're having a, what do you call it,
It's got NBA two big names in it. I'm not surprised they're doing a press screening on it.
Yeah, it's never stopped them before from not doing a press screening. But I don't know. The only thing, I didn't even see the first Red, okay? Because I knew I wasn't going to like it because I was so fucking pissed off that they took a really great comic book that could have been, like, nice and small and intimate like the Limey, right? And... turned it into a ensemble comedy, which I was just like, this doesn't even you've even changed genres. Okay, like Starship Troopers, at least they didn't change it. It was science fiction to begin with. It's science fiction when it comes out the other side, right? You know, this was like
crappy science fiction.
What? What? What was that?
That's a horrible, horrible example and horrible, horrible film.
What? What was?
Starship Troopers.
Oh.
I say we call Doc now and ask him if his ears are burning.
No.
No.
I don't want to be stabbed.
Yeah. For years, I'm with Doc because for years, well, even still today, it is the worst movie I have ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, no. Battlefield Earth. Battlefield Earth is worse.
Yeah.
Battlefield Earth. Battlefield Earth.
All of them better.
Like, whoa, Event Horizon. Whoa. Battlefield Earth is the funniest film of the last 20 years.
No.
Yes.
I can't laugh. X versus Sever.
No, I don't know, Rox. I don't know.
You like Battlefield Earth.
No, no, no. I'm not saying. I'm saying funny-wise. Battlefield Earth, I was laughing so hard in the press screening. The press person came over to check to see if I was having a fit. And I was laughing so fucking hard. I literally thought they have done this as a joke. There is no way you can make a film that is this amazingly hilarious and have it not be on purpose.
How the hell did you not end up on some Scientologist hit list?
I have no idea because I told you what happened with this, Scott. Like what happened the next day?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And I'm still amazed that, you know, some Scientologist ninja team hasn't,
it was every critic that was there. We were all in unanimous. Just, I can't believe we've just seen what we've just seen. It was amazing. No, but
it was like there were too many targets.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. There are too many targets. I mean, that movie is so awful. There are no non-targets. It's awful.
It was fucking, we were dissing the film while John Travolta's, handler was in the room with us. We couldn't stop, Rob. We couldn't stop.
It was so bad. It was so bad. It was awful.
It was only when the man himself came into the room that we all just clammed up and tried our best to hold it together. It was fantastic.
Well, okay. So can we talk about a movie that's fun to go see?
Oh,
other
please.
Than Pacific Rim?
About Pacific Rim, very fun, yes, but go ahead.
Despicable Me is adorable.
Yes, it is.
It is actually, they did a really good job with the sequel. Monsters University actually was kind of weird because it was like every 80s college movie trope, but they did it in a nice way. So, I mean, it's still Pixar, so they did a good job. But Despicable Me 2,
Naked monster was unnecessary running through the campus. I thought the naked
Which
monster.
Which naked monster?
The one that was streaking in Monsters University was unnecessary. Inappropriate
they
for
call
kids.
It the streak, but that's when streaking.
I don't remember that. I must have gone to go pee. Yeah.
And the sex scene between Mike Wazowski and the that one other person.
There was no sex scene.
John Travolta.
Well, he was wearing the Darth Vader mask.
John, you're making that stop.
No, he's not. You were peeing.
I only peed once, and there was no streaking and sex.
She was actually asleep during that part.
Well, you must have seen the same movie that we saw.
Okay, but Minions, the Despicable Me 2, very good, really neat. The Minions are adorable again. I still want two in my house. And again, Steve Carroll, I like you when you're an animated character. Otherwise, I can't stand you.
Really? Actually, Lee, speaking of Steve Carroll, I saw the way back.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of people said some really interesting things.
Well, here's the thing. Almost everybody in it plays against Cass. Steve Carroll plays just a fucking ass. I mean, forget The Office. He's just a fucking asshole in it, right?
That's my understanding is he plays
and
a
it's
real
great.
Awful.
It's great to watch him do it because you just sort of like, thank you, take the gloves off and do it. And he totally sells it. Now, outside of that, it's one of those really cute, charming summer movies. It's sort of like the cool go away to summer camp kind of age 80s movie, but it's also like just an amazing showcase for Sam Rockwell. I mean, it is probably like the best Sam Rockwell film he's done since Moon. Because he really just, and it's great because he's at Desi Seeds with Maya Rudolph, and they just doesn't get in his way, and they're funny, but it's very subtle on how she is, and he's basically bludgeoning everything in his path, and she's just very subtle, and it totally works. And then having Terry Collette in the cast to sort of balance out everything else also really works. I mean, it's like, I know they say it's a lot like some of their other movies, but it's a little more adult, and but it's also got a heart to it, which is really nice. I went into it not expecting much at all, and it was really interesting. And you know, I mean, it's billed as sort of the comedy of the summer, but it's not really. It's not this film and Kristen Wiig movie are both supposed to be comedies, but they're both sort of not comedies. It's kind of like Self is better if you sold it as a movie and not a comedy, because yeah, there's comedy with it, but it's really sort of this like warm, nice, sort of gentle film that like you go to and you like enjoy going to just watch a film.
Almost like the early John Cusack films.
Yeah, it kind of has that to it. And the kid, you know, at first the kid who's the lead actor, it's very quiet, doesn't say anything, but it totally works. And you're like, okay, dude.
Well, Rob, I'd just like to say that I don't think I've seen a Sam Rockwell film that wasn't a great showcase for Sam Rockwell.
I know. Oh my God.
But I mean commercially. This is probably the most front and center he's been in a movie. Because it's billed as a Steve Carell movie, but Rockwell's got more screen time than Steve Carell.
Well, see, I didn't think it was a Steve Carell as much as you're saying, because I had heard it was much more for other things. So.
But remember, he was one of the villains in Iron Man 2, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Wait, what?
He was good in Seven Psychopaths.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. He and Tom Waits and Christopher Walken were the best part of that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, all of the parts in that film, because I rewatched it, it falls apart at the end.
Yeah, when they go camping in the desert.
Yeah, but the buildup, even what's his name that just plays the silent psychopath from Alien. What's his name? Stockton.
What?
The old guy.
I know you're talking. I can't remember his name, but I know what you're talking about.
Dean Stockwell? Not from Alien.
No. The one from Alien.
Sorry. Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, he's great in it too, and he's just standing there. But I really enjoyed the crap out of that film.
Well, I must admit that I think that most films need Harry Dean Stanton in them.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's great how he got the cameo in Avengers. That was fantastic.
I know.
How did he get? I mean, I thought he was great
basically
in it, but
somebody that Joss was working with, I forget who it was doing a documentary about the life of Harry Dean Stanton, and said, and basically just said, "Hey, would you like him? Want me to ask him if he'll be?" He's like, "Yeah." And that's how they got him.
Like, you fell from the sky.
Son, you got a condition.
Yes.
And he had a really nice touch of humanity in that film right when it needs it.
Yeah.
And if
right
you
when
want,
the movie's
if you
starting to go crazy, he brings it kind of back into the real world. It's fantastic.
That's and if you want to see him doing a really great one, it's Lilies of the Field about the mountain.
Ooh, yeah.
The mountain people. He plays this guy named Kaiser Pease, who's a really nice guy, and he plays a great part in this. Really, it was one of those things that play on HBO all the time in the 80s, and he has this great part in it. It's a good film anyway, but you know, see that Lilies of the Field.
Isn't he the dad in Pretty in Pink?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is fantastic.
Now, Witch, I have a question.
We need him at DragonCon.
What are the next few? Do we know what the next few Pixar movies are?
Yeah.
Airplane is it?
Well, the planes is now.
Planes
is Disney. Remember?
Oh, okay.
If you look at it, it just says Disney's Planes, because I think maybe the Pixar people went fuck you.
The next Pixar is Frozen, isn't it?
No, that's Disney.
The thing is they all look the same, and that Turbo looks like it's from, and that's from DreamWorks. They all look the same now.
You've got Good Dinosaur, which comes out next May. Then you've
and
got
then Bad Dinosaur.
Then you've got Inside Out, which is 2015 June, and then Finding Dory, which is 2015 November.
Oh, okay, so it's not all sequels and prequels and stuff.
Well, Finding Dory is,
but that hasn't saved them thus far.
I have hope for Finding Dory.
Why?
I don't know why you have that.
Because I don't know.
Unless I'm Albert Brooks turns around and becomes like the psychopath that he was in Driver.
Oh my God. If he
redeemed himself to me in that film.
Now to be fair, Albert Brooks has done a lot of great stuff. I've always liked Albert Brooks.
Well, that's
not a stand-up. I haven't liked a stand-up, but I liked some of his films. But no, I'm with you. The fact that he was able to do that and Drive, he was fucking unbelievable. I mean, like
part of the movie.
Yes. Oh, agreed. That and the elevator sequence, simply because that was the entire reason for the movie to exist.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, even though it fell apart.
I love Cranston in that film, though. I thought he was so sweet in that film.
And that was part of when he was basically just in every other film that came out, it seemed like.
Right.
Because he was in Total Recall, and then he was in, it was like every other, I swear to God, it was like, you're working between shootings of Breaking Bad. Well done. Yeah. And I am so glad that he is now not really associated so much with Malcolm in the Middle. Because I fucking hate that show.
You know what? I know that you hate the show, but it actually wasn't as horrible. I mean, towards the end, it got kind of grating, but at the very beginning...
I would agree with John. It, to me, showed what a real-life family kind of is.
And I thought
because it had a touch of the surreal.
Right.
Touch of surreal, but on a whole, you know, kids could be... I mean, there were five of us, and we could... you know, make our parents go crazy,
Now, let me ask you, Witch, have you watched Breaking Bad?
I have not yet, no, but that is on the list.
The ever-expanding list.
Well, let's see, because I had to finish The Following, because I wanted to hear this Samsung story that I've been waiting for weeks to hear.
So have you finished? Have you finished The Following?
I have finished The Following.
And
okay,
your thoughts.
So let's hear the Samsung story.
Well, let's hear that. I want proof that he actually finished. Your thoughts on the ending of...
Are you calling Widge a liar?
No.
Liar!
Not in so many words. The...
what did you do that for?
John, here's what I'll tell you. I don't... The obvious thing, I don't think that actually happened.
Right.
And the two things at the very end, I was like, that's a little... That's a kind of a lame way to end it. You know what I mean? Which I was like, well, because they've
which
done
two
so
things
well.
People have had to have seen it. You took forever to see it, so I don't care if we spoil it.
Okay, that's fine.
Fast forward 15 minutes.
Okay, there you go. Spoiler,
there'll still be four more hours of this podcast anyway.
All right, I don't think he's actually dead.
I agree with you.
Especially because, as you know, they pointed out in the newscast, you heard them say, just like in the in his book. So he's basically lived out his first book. And two, I just did not like the whole, we're going to leave you stabbed. And this is a cliffhanger. Because I'm like, every other cliffhanger that they've done for 14 episodes was badass. Where it would go, fuck you, The Following, right? That was pretty much it every single time. But I was like, really? That's how you're going to leave
but
it? Really?
They didn't. See, here's my deal with that. They didn't. Yeah. Stab the person I thought they were going to stab.
Who did you think they were going to stab? The kid? Who else is left?
Hold on, wait, maybe I'm remembering this wrong. Who was stabbed at the end?
Both of them.
Everybody.
John, did you watch the end?
I don't think you actually watched the end.
What's
you in your Samsung story?
What is this Following you're talking about?
At the end, everyone gets stabbed, but Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are on their way back to the castle.
Yay!
Circle gets the square.
No, they both wind up stabbed.
Right. No, no, no. Okay, so that's the thing. I didn't think that they were going to stab the chick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was just going to be dead. I thought that was going to be your fuck you ending. And I actually almost would have preferred that
well,
to how
she
they
still
left
can
it.
Be in. Still no, can
no, no,
be
no,
dead.
I know.
There's
I know.
Doubt.
But I'm just like, that just seemed a lame way to go. See you next season. It's like, oh, come on. So I don't know. I would have almost preferred they didn't play that card yet.
That they left it with them just kind of back at his house and
them and then that shadow looming over them of, oh, at any moment I'm going to come in and stab you. So I mean,
you know, you might be right. That might have been a better play where maybe you show the neighbor, whatever her name was.
Yeah.
I'm horrible with names, by the way.
Like Molly or something like that.
Yeah, whatever her name was, the neighbor in the apartment, and just stop it there.
Yeah, because I mean, like I said, and John, tell me if you agree with it. Every single episode was like a bang, and then the following came up on the screen. You're like, fuck! I mean, it was just like, holy shit! What the fuck's gonna happen now? I mean, I got that. I got every episode. It was just like, oh shit! Now I gotta find time to watch the next episode because they fucking left me in the lurch here again.
It's yeah, like, I kind of thought I did kind of not like how they ended Joe or didn't end Joe.
Yeah, that was sort of too convenient.
It was sort of played out as though it were a actual movie.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, of all the stuff that happened in the series, that was the most cinematic. And the fact that they left it open like that, or left it looking not open, they left it seeming closed. They tried to close it up, which means that they're going to have to explain why, if it's still open, they open it back up again, if you know what I mean. But I was just like, after all of that, I was like, really? This entire thing, and this is the episode you're going to end with? Really? So I was a little disappointed in the last episode.
Right. I'm always kind of skeptical about buildings that just kind of blow up like that. You know what I mean?
Well, hang on. Let's ask an expert. Rocks?
Yes.
Do buildings normally just blow up?
In my neighborhood, yes.
Well, with the limited amount of chemical, I mean, there were chemicals in there, obviously. But right. It wasn't, and there was gas. Conveniently, there was a ton of gas in there.
Right.
But still, even then, I think that I think Mythbusters may have destroyed this for me. Is basically what it boils down to.
God damn you, Savage!
Yes, exactly. That, you know, as I've learned from Mythbusters, you can't actually blow up a car by shooting it in the gas tank. It does not work that way. Although I have seen a burned out car on the side of the highway in Atlanta. But
did they try it with an RPG?
John Rambo did.
Is that actually, where you have to roll for damage? Never
two
mind.
Damage, two damage.
Yeah.
So yeah, the fact that the fire kind of burned just enough, and the house blew up just enough, or the boathouse really. You know, blew to smithereens, and of course they couldn't find the body because everything's, you know.
Oh, no. Excuse me. They found the body and tested the DNA.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And said, oh, right. Yes, yeah, right. It's him. So you're that's right. Why I'm like, all right, if this is really over.
You're right. Sorry.
Then they're going to have to do some explaining as to how it's not over.
See, in my mind, I already know that it was not him. Well, see, here's the deal. You know, you can go with the following being that some of the followers are actually in, were the ones that did the tests.
Yeah.
Basically, well, anybody can be a follower, so.
No, I agree. And I almost wish they had played with that a bit more, because I kept waiting, and maybe this was how they fucked me on the deal, was I kept waiting for somebody to be revealed as a follower on the FBI team.
Oh, yeah. That's why, because remember, I was biting kind of my lip when you thought that what's his nose was a follower, Iceman, whatever his character.
Yeah,
his
Sean
name.
Ashmore.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, because it was too obvious for him to be a follower, and then they basically played it out to the point where it would make sense again for him to be a follower because it would be the last thing you would expect. But I just...
Well, let me ask you this then. Conclude this, and then I will give you my lousy Samsung story, which is really pales in comparison now at this point. Right. Will you watch the second season?
I'll start it, yeah.
And then if it kind of picks up and continues to surprise you, you'll continue to watch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will. I mean, I was surprised that you had the death that you did have in the last episode.
Oh,
I
didn't... yes. You're right.
Because that was hardcore.
Yes.
So, but it was after that that the it was like somebody else came in and wrote the ending. It was like, whoa. This was actually good. What happened?
I certainly thought that death was not coming. I thought that was going to be one of those, rescue at last minute type things. That death was very surprising.
Yeah. But
actually, several of the deaths have been very surprising. So
no, I know. But that's why I was really upset that, I think the one thing they could have done, which would have been awesome, is rather than, first of all, there are two black agents in the show. Both of them had a really bad time. Let's just point that out.
Well, that's how it is, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently. But no, I was disappointed because I was like, it would be awesome if the black guy from the team was the plant, because you so seldom get, there are black serial killers, but they never get any press and they're never in movies.
I know those.
What's that?
Those serial killers really need to work, with their press agents, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I guess.
So my Samsung story, because here's a big letdown.
I can't wait. This is going to be great, everyone.
So for my...
John, hang on. Pause for a second, because I'm going to insert theme music. Okay, go ahead.
So, for my son's birthday, we bought him a Samsung tablet. He had it for exactly 30 minutes before he came back to me and goes, "Dad, something's wrong with this."
And you said, "What?" And he said, "It's a Samsung, Dad. Why don't you love me?"
I went, "What the heck's going on?" So, the screen stopped responding. It just would not respond to anything. So, we brought it back, got a new one. He had that one for 24 hours before that one stopped functioning.
Same problem.
No, sorry. This one just would not start back up. It just wouldn't start back up, period. And I said, "Oh my God, this is Widge getting back at me." The third one that we went and got after returning that one actually has continued to work, and there's the end of the story. So that's my Widge's Samsung story.
That was boring.
Hang on.
Yeah, never.
I'm going to add closing theme music. Okay, go ahead.
I never promised you anything. I just told you I would tell you the story.
I know. He never promised you a rose garden.
Ah, get out of my brain! Oh my God! So,
oh wow, it's much larger than I thought it'd be.
Hello.
Yeah, it's very empty. It's like, it's like the warehouse that they stored the Ark of the Covenant in. And yes,
Lee's gone.
In the fourth film, they'll come back and fuck everything up.
Lee's gone.
Yeah, Lee went away. She had to fall asleep.
We've been here for 5 hours. Next. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure. We'll do introductions and then Serv will duck out.
Yep.
Because we'll mention Doctor Who or something.
No.
No, there's nothing to mention. There's nothing happening. Don't worry. All right. So
Everything's fine here.
Everything's going to be fine, Serv. Don't panic. Don't panic, Serv. All right. We'll do whatever, that thing, and we'll do it starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home.
Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Voodoo donuts.
We also have Scott C is with us. Hi, Scott.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We have Serve with us. Hi, Serve.
Hello, Witch.
Hello, Serve. We have Rox of Spaz House is here. Hi, Rox.
Says here, things you can do to get time off out of purgatory. Help the poor, volunteer, and now follow the Pope on Twitter. Guess what I'm doing.
Are you serious?
Yes!
You can get off time in purgatory.
You can get time off.
And go directly to hell.
Wait.
Why not follow on Facebook? That doesn't give you any grace.
Do you have
this is easy.
Do you have to wait until you're in purgatory to follow him, or can you do that before?
If you do it now, it's like an indulgence.
But it certainly is. Most of Twitter is. But John, Scott, remember, we should count our blessings that, no pun intended, that that Rox is no longer following the Pope in real life, but only on Twitter.
That's right.
Because you had a few, like, you're not even allowed in Vatican City anymore.
Vatican offers time off purgatory to followers of Pope Francis tweets.
That is fantastic.
It's in The Guardian, and everything The Guardian prints is, you know, true, right?
I prefer to read The Vindicator.
There'll be a lot of priests following the Pope.
I imagine purgatory is like a Greyhound bus terminal. That's the way I see it.
Breaker,
that's
breaker,
where
Rob.
I'm going.
If we got ourselves a convoy here.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
He
what
did
the
it.
Pope watches convoy?
He did it.
I did it.
John.
I did it.
Oh, it's John. Coming. It's coming.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm Breaker 19. This here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Pen? Come on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 10-4, Big Pen, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a Big 10-4 there, Big Pen. Yeah, we definitely got the front door. Good buddy, mercy sakes alive. Looks like we got us a convoy.
Oh yeah. Actually, you know awesome. What? These days, all of that trucker speak sounds like euphemisms.
It does.
Yes.
We got ourselves a clean shot all the way to the front door. What? What?
Well, it is. It's all hidden speak for, you know, getting sex and drugs and alcohol.
You know,
and finding out where cops are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, damn intros.
And getting the sex and drugs from cops. All right, fine. We'll also have guest starring I guess you would say the Black Vulcan of the Weekend Justice League. It's JJ.
Wow. So
I'm from the opposite hemisphere of Vulcan then.
You're from the Weekend Crime League. You're from Earth 3.
I was thinking I was a substitute Avenger, but that's better.
I love Earth 3. We also have manning the board is John for the Unique Geek. Hi, John.
Hey. Now we're eastbound and down.
Oh, he's bringing it hard tonight, kids.
That is not a euphemism.
It might be. I don't give a shit at this point.
No, I'm sorry.
You know what? This podcast can't get any better. I'm leaving.
Jerry Reed has been invoked. Bye, sir.
Bye, sir.
I do.
The bad thing is, I've used both of those to close the DJ set.
What? Nice. What's that, Rob?
Hold on.
The sad thing is,
I'm tuning into channel 13. Hold on 1 second. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, the sad thing is, I played both of those to close out DJ sets. You know, late at night when it's 4 a.m, you want people to leave, so you got to play something funny or weird.
Why would you think that would make people leave? That would make me want to stay.
Yeah.
Because by that point, everyone's drunk and loaded, and they are hilariously rolling over in the ground. It totally works.
I just like my
favorite.
In fact,
I have found my karaoke song.
My favorite Jerry Reed, though, is still Pretty Mary Sunlight, which he played two lines of over and over again in his Scooby-Doo movie.
That's right.
That's right.
Right.
The fucking Scooby-Doo new movies were the bomb, man.
So,
yeah, they were.
So I went to Atlanta last week, which is why there was a delay in this particular podcast. But I learned something about myself while I was there.
Oh, shit.
That Lee's husband pointed out to me.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so I saw Widge and the rest of the gang.
I did not point out anything to John. Let me just make that clear.
And we had a heated game of Munchkin.
Right.
Which my daughter won, because basically everyone ignored the girl and burned everything trying to burn Widge. So the...
No, to be fair, John, to be fair, at that point, I just didn't want you to win.
Well, at that point, I didn't want you to win.
I know. John and I are trying to fucking stab your buddy. We're the best buddies at the table. Stab, stab, stab.
So that goes to my point.
Okay.
Which is, Andrew goes, I go, wow, I didn't realize how competitive Widge is. That's what I said to Andrew. And he goes, yeah, he's just only slightly more competitive than you are. And I went, ah. And I'm going, and I go, I'm not competitive. I don't know what you're talking about. And then not 3 or 4 hours later, we're at Whitewater, and going down the little slide with the blue, where you ride on the blue mats down. It's like, I think it's called 100 meter splash, something like that.
Are you trying to get vengeance on your daughter by drowning
her?
No.
So I'm racing all, you know, we're racing each other. There's five of us, and there's six rows. So there's five of us that are on the ride. And as I'm going by Kidlet, I start yelling, ha, gotcha! And then I realized, oh, wait, maybe Andrew was correct. Perhaps I am a little more competitive than I thought.
Wow. Well, then that just makes you wonder what Widge would have been yelling then.
I'm screaming at a 14-year-old.
What JJ, what I would have been yelling is, I'm burning! I'm burning! Because,
you know, that
if flip-flops lined with the soil of my native earth don't count.
I will say the one thing that I was worried about at the recent Neil Gaiman signing that I went to was not anything that had to do with the signing. It was the waiting outside, because it was a 90-degree day here in Portland. And so I was constantly trying to figure out how I could finagle the line into the shade.
Hey, at least you're in a city where you went to.
What's that, Rob?
Hold on. I'm tuning in again. Channel 6. Let's try that.
No. I said at least you're in a city that he went to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob.
Well, even after standing in, I stood in the shade for an hour and a half, and even though I was in the shade the whole time, I still ended up with a sunburn.
Well, admittedly, St. Louis
is
a big city.
In Portland right now? Is that what I'm hearing?
It is unusually warm, yeah.
Okay, I've kind of heard that from some of my mom's relatives and stuff too, is that it's like been really hot in the Pacific Northwest.
It's not like St. Louis is a big city, though.
No, but it's fucking hot here, so we're used to it. No. But I just don't remember Portland being like scorchingly sunburned hot all the time. So
we get it every couple of years.
Okay.
Like snow.
Where else did he sign that, besides Atlanta and Portland?
I think he went to every major city except St. Louis.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Has he been to Tampa?
Went to Nashville.
Again, every major city is what we're saying, right?
I don't remember where he was.
Neil, how do you spell his name?
G-A-I-M-A-N.
Not G-A-Y.
I don't know why my keyboard's not working. What the heck is going on here?
Did you spill gin on it?
No.
It's the curse of Jerry Reed. You can look at Jerry Reed.
Probably.
Messed up your keyboard.
So after Dragon Con, I'm going to Atlanta. Not to Atlanta. I'm going to Nashville. I'll be in Atlanta for Dragon Con. But after that, I'm going to Nashville for a couple of days. And I actually want to go back to the Country Music Hall of Fame. I went there as a child.
Oh, yes. You totally have to.
But I'm hoping... Oh yeah, I loved it. But I'm hoping that the Trans Am's still there. It was there when I was a kid, and that was my favorite part.
The other place you have to go is the Scranton Lester Flat Record Store, or the Tubbs Record Store. You have to go there. Even if you don't buy any records, it's like walking into a record store in 1958. You have to go.
Oh, amazing! What was the name again?
Ernest Tubb Records.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's easy to remember. Sure.
Does that mean they? Does that mean they have bathrooms for whites and colored people?
Hey.
No.
Okay. Oh my God! Oh, it's not possible.
What?
The Alabama Music Hall of Fame closed in April.
What?
Yes.
I wanted to go there.
I know, because they had one of Lionel Richie's outfits.
See, now that was one of the things he said, that you and Tuffley were to take me to see Lionel Richie's jumpsuit.
I know.
I had it on my bucket list.
I know.
Oh, fuck.
I'm pissed now. God damn it.
Well, I'm sure if you have $10, you can probably buy it.
That would be even more awesome.
You know what we
there
have?
Could be a prize at the Fun Fest.
Okay, so apparently Neil doesn't. I don't see where he went before, but he's obviously at Comic Con this weekend,
right?
And then he's in Ontario and Montreal and Vancouver, and then in the UK for the rest of the year.
Okay, yeah. So
Rob, oh wait, and then Lewisburg, Pennsylvania.
So Rob. I think what we need to do is we can choose one of the there is still the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame.
Okay. Right?
There is the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame.
Okay.
The Alabama Stage and Screen Hall of Fame and the Insurance Hall of Fame. That's right.
Okay, we make a day of it.
International Insurance Society, the International Insurance Society has their Hall of Fame in Alabama. How the fuck did that happen?
Well, it's the same reason why they have... Well, they have all the rocket scientists live in Alabama, too, so...
So they had to take out insurance on the space program, and that's...
Have you seen that rocket show thing with the backyard rocket guys?
I have.
Yeah, that's why insurance is huge there.
And the International Motorsports Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
International.
And not even trying to insult Alabama, because I lived there for a while as a kid, but...
That's okay. I'll insult it for you. Go ahead.
What movies were filmed in Alabama? I'm trying to remember, because it seems like they're always...
Mississippi
the
Burning.
The Ravagers.
Mississippi Burning.
No, actually, I auditioned for Mississippi Burning. I know that was filmed in Mississippi.
No, but JJ, you do know about the Ravagers, right?
No.
Oh my God.
Let's see, movies filmed in Alabama.
Ravagers was from 1979, a science fiction like post-apocalyptic film that took place in 1991.
Ooh.
Starring Art Carney, Ernest Borgnine, and the star was Richard Harris. And here's what's awesome. What's awesome is that they shot it at the Space
Got great stuff.
Center.
How many strikeouts this season? I gotta switch apps.
Oh, dear God.
What's happening?
Screw you, autoplay. Sorry.
Now, I will say, as soon as you said what's awesome could have stopped with Art Carney. I love Art Carney.
No, I love Art Carney, too. However, here's what I remember about the Ravagers, is that they shot it at the Space and Rocket Center and painted the Space and Rocket Center brown. All the rockets and everything brown, because a nuclear holocaust turned things brown. Remember that, kids. Then, but what happened was they painted it with some, a paint that was supposed to just wash off and return everything to normal, right? It rained. Yeah. The paint didn't work. They basically had to repaint the entire space and rocket center.
It's kind of like with Alcatraz when they fucked up the filming there.
What was that? What you mean? When they were filming, was supposed to escape.
When they were filming The Rock at Alcatraz, they filmed it, part of it, in the hospital ward where Nicolas Cage is getting out of the tub or whatever.
Yeah.
And they told them, they said, "Okay, thank you for letting us film here. We're going to shoot this. We're going to put this fake blood all over the walls and parts of the floor, but it's a blood that comes, it'll wash right out. And to this day, it still doesn't wash out. And they had to pay Alcatraz a shit ton of money because they damaged the walls on it because the blood won't come out."
Wow.
Yeah.
So here are the top 10 films filmed in Alabama.
Top 10? Wow.
Yeah. Starting at number 10, Executive Decision.
Yeah.
Talladega, number 9, Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Makes sense.
And hey, by the way, number 8, Mississippi Burning. I wasn't so wrong.
Oh.
Part
of it was filmed in Mississippi, I know.
Well, I'm sure they
shot the burning part in Alabama.
Ah.
Number 7, A Perfect World. I'm not sure exactly what that is.
That's Kevin Costner, isn't it?
Yeah, after escaping from a Huntsville prison. There you go.
There you go.
Kevin Costner and Clint Eastwood, you're right. 12 O'Clock High.
Okay.
Big Fish is number 5.
Yeesh.
Murder Ball is number 4. Now, exactly how Murder Ball is... say what you will about Big Fish, how is Murder Ball...
Murder Ball is sort of like a ball, but more homicidal.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Really?
The Insider, and the number 1 film, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay, all right. Your entire list is invalid, and I will tell you why. I will tell you why Space Camp is not on that list. How can you have a list of films shot in Alabama and miss the film that is based... basically, the entire premise of the film is based around something that exists in Alabama, besides racism.
And the thriving school system that they have there.
Yes, the school system, which I will never get done praising.
Norma Rae was also filmed there.
I liked Norma Rae.
I bet you did. Sounds like you did. Stay Hungry.
Yeah. Lee, I thought you were off the. I thought you were off the call.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Stay Hungry, which is also another Sally Field movie. Apparently, Sally Field loves to film in Alabama.
Well, but I think wasn't
Karen
that
Green
the...
just filmed the movie in Alabama, didn't she?
Wait a minute. Wasn't Stay Hungry the Kidlet story? Sorry.
Hey, man.
With the sequel Lunchables.
Karen Green just filmed some horror movie there, Oculus, in Alabama.
What was it?
There's a film coming out. I think it's called Oculus or something that Karen Gillan is in from Doctor Who, and she filmed it in Alabama. And it's got Katie Sackhoff is in part of it, is in it as well.
Oh,
it's a horror film. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was just looking this up. Apparently, they shot some of the suburban things from Close Encounters. The home where Barry was abducted is located outside the town of Fairhope. And Roy Neary's home is at Carlisle Drive East in Mobile. So there you go. I did not know that.
Nick, I know that here in Portland, we have 3 television series filming here. Which is kind of awkward because they're
actually... Grimm, Portland, and Portlandia, and what else?
Portlandia, Leverage. Portlandburg, and Portlandsville, I think.
Leverage is the one that gets in the way the most because they're always filming downtown.
Leverage isn't... filming anymore. It's over.
No, they're not filming now. You're right. Okay, so I shouldn't have said currently.
Yeah. Leverage. Actually, see, the funny thing is that Leverage, the final season, the bar that they shoot in is where I had, where Serve had his, what do you call it? His party. His, what did he do? The party before the wedding.
Special party.
No. The one with that where everyone goes.
Rehearsal dinner.
Rehearsal dinner, yes. Where his rehearsal dinner was.
Nice. Are you comfortable saying the name of the place?
I think, yeah. It's like...
he doesn't remember yesterday.
I've never known John to be comfortable.
I only recognize it by its look, and the being in the same room where the Leverage thing was set up.
Okay. Stopped watching Leverage, so maybe I'll go back and watch the last season.
And don't forget that.
Don't waste your time.
Don't forget that the very short-lived but brilliant McLean Stevenson series, Hello Larry, was also set in Portland.
No.
Oh yeah. Hey, but the last season of Leverage, watch the last episode because it does. Well, it's interesting because the problem with the last season of Leverage is that it does a nice job setting up the ending, and the ending is very cool. I thought the ending was perfect for what the series was, but the rest of it is just kind of the same stuff, kind of over and over again.
Now, when Leverage was filming here, it had one of the funniest bar arguments that I've ever heard of. I was not there, but my good friend was, where Timothy Hutton was apparently being kind of a jerk at a local bar. And this drunken gentleman got very upset with him. And as he was leaving, he said, "I'm going to change your Wikipedia page, motherfucker."
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's Portland for you.
Yep. That we are a very passive aggressive city.
Yes.
Yeah. So can I just ask a question? A Leverage related question is that I stopped watching after the first season. But why is Aldous Hodge not in everything? I'm just wondering. Because I fucking love him. He's hilarious.
That's a very good question.
Anyone who doubts me, just watch the outtakes on the Leverage 1 DVD set. There is one scene where he's like driving a panel truck or something as a decoy, and he gets stopped by these like mercenaries or something, and every single take he is doing something completely and utterly different and fucking ridiculous. He's genius. So he needs to like have lots and lots of work. I'm just saying.
Nope. Now that he's free of Leverage, maybe he will.
And well, he's done a lot of like small parts. Apparently, I was just looking it up, and a lot of guest appearances. But no, he and interestingly enough, he said, "Yeah, I'd be okay with playing Black Panther."
Oh, okay. Now I know who you're talking about.
Hardison. Yeah.
Yeah, Hardison was really cool. His character and the blonde chick. I'm horrible with these names. This is why I make
Parker.
Parker, thank you. Were the most interesting characters. Even though, you know, Timothy Hutton was supposed to be basically running the show, but those two characters were the most interesting of the characters on the show.
And I did also like the Elliot character because he's probably the closest you could get to Wolverine on television.
That is true. Yeah, but
so he's the guy who was on Angel.
I don't know. I didn't watch
the long-haired guy.
Yes, he was.
He's the one who made himself at home here the most, so I thought that was cool. He played a lot of like acoustic guitar gigs at local bars and stuff.
You know, what I learned is that he actually is a recording artist. I mean, he's been playing forever. So,
well, and that was the deal that made me so happy about the first season is that they actually, you could tell that like John Rogers knew comic books because they actually did a great comic book ending to the first season. And it was perfect, especially with what they did with him. It was great, which is why the second season turned me off so quickly. Oh, you're going back to the same old thing. Well, you can't do that after you've just blown your wad. Sorry.
Well, that is comics, though.
Well, but that's comics I don't read, John.
Well, yeah, okay.
That's when you stop. See, you have to understand. I'm the guy who bought Green Lantern 2 years past where I should have stopped. All right?
So I liked Carl. I also like Carl.
I like Kyle too.
I like Carl and Kyle.
Kyle's a great character.
Kyle was a great character that they didn't know how to fucking write. And the closest person who came to it was Judd Winnick before he turned evil.
Right, and as Shag will point out to you, that he's a graphic artist. Why is he still using a hammer? Why is he still using a fist?
Why is every other story, let's beat up Kyle and take his ring? I want to stab someone.
So, I still like Kyle, though.
No, I love the character of Kyle, but I'm just like, you know, In a Green Lantern comic, you know when they've run out of ideas when they send Green Lantern into space. That's what it's over. They run out of ideas.
Which happened, what, 5 minutes into the film?
No. Let's all. The Green Lantern movie had so many other problems with it.
Wait, there was a Green Lantern movie?
No, John.
I'm retconning it out of my life.
No.
To be fair to the Green Lantern movie, my main problem with the Green Lantern movie, besides the fact it was awful, was that there were about 9 movies worth of stuff crammed into one 2 hour period. So yep. Nothing made sense.
No, nothing made any sense whatsoever. And it's a shame because I think Ryan Reynolds could have made a good Hal Jordan.
Like he could have been a good Deadpool.
Well, he was a good Deadpool for like 5 minutes.
At the very beginning.
Yep. What's that?
I was going to say 3.5.
Oh, yeah, okay. I did. There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why I'm afraid of the Wolverine, is because the last Wolverine movie was such shit, which is a shame because it should have been better, because Hugh Jackman is probably the greatest embodiment of a comic book hero that we've seen on screen.
That's right.
Like, ever. And to be honest, even though I know he doesn't look a thing like Tyler Mane, fuck it. I like Lee Schreiber as Sabretooth. I thought he was good.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole film was shit around them.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I actually think, and you're right. And I also think that I'm hopeful for the Wolverine film. It looks like they might have actually, you know, if you listen to Hugh Jackman, he did say that the whole reason why, ever since he got the Wolverine character, of course, he's going to say this because it's the film that's coming out, but this is the story that he wanted to shoot, which is the whole Japanese Yakuza thing.
Yeah, but see, I don't remember, because they're basing this on like the Frank Miller Limited series, right?
Right, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of, because mostly. I don't remember in that him like losing his mutant powers or something. I thought it was just Wolverine fighting ninjas and shit.
Here's the question.
Really all you need.
Do we really know that he is losing his powers? I mean, although there isn't a preview that he says, I'm not healing. I don't think that necessarily. I mean, that might be kind of a red herring type thing.
The thing that in the preview that actually makes me think that it might go off the rails at some point is there's only been one preview out there with the Silver Samurai in it, and it looks like the Silver Samurai is a robot.
I hadn't thought of him as a robot.
They're not doing press screenings.
Uh-oh. What?
They were going to do press screenings for him here, but they're not.
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
That's not a good sign at all.
I mean, I love the posters they're doing for. They're plastered all over this city. The like Japanese line work posters are gorgeous.
Now, you know what? That almost looks like, who did they get to do those? Because that almost looks like John Muth artwork.
Yeah.
What posters?
Wolverine.
Oh.
The other interesting thing that they haven't done is they haven't put on any of the marketing Academy Award nominee Hugh Jackman.
Huh.
Well, they do that for everything.
But,
I think they almost have to.
Why would you, though?
Seriously. I know, but every movie out that someone's in, they always put it on. So I thought that was interesting.
But do you seriously think that anybody that's going to see the Wolverine cares?
Oh my God, this almost looks like Andy Lee's work.
Yeah, or Andy Lee, yeah.
So basically we're saying that the best Wolverine has been in a film would have been X-Men First Class?
X-Men.
The first X-Men. Where he sold us all on the character with one line.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that was just like, oh, shit. You nailed it. Oh, my God. Yeah, I believe.
I will say, though, when you go back and watch that film, the ending of that film just destroys everything. The setup of that film is so brilliant, but the ending's so tacked on.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. And the idea that Magneto would be so fucked up as to do something that stupid. And here's what pissed me off. Is they left themselves an opening where they were like, oh, the senator, you turned him into water or whatever. And he has this line where he goes, is that what you think you saw? Where it was like, oh, there's a reveal somewhere. No, there fucking isn't. There's no fucking reveal.
Well, here's what I'll say. The better Wolverine film was the first X-Men. The better X-Men film was the second X-Men. It was X-Men 2.
Yes, that was better. Yes, yeah. Agreed. Although I enjoyed the shit out of First Class.
But that's true. We will.
I liked it. I like First Class.
That's but good. But the yeah. But as far as you know, traditional X-Men, if you will, the second one. But it was a worse Wolverine film because actually they gave him stuff to do, but it wasn't really very Wolverine like, if you will. It was more the kind of the shepherding guy, like he was just protecting folks as opposed to being grumpy old guy.
Although I do like, I was reading here on Wikipedia, which is always right. Jackman talked to The Rock about how to bulk up for the film. And which I mean, having seen him in like Pain and Gain, dude he was big in G.I. Joe. He's fucking huge in that movie. Yeah. So it's like Johnson suggested that for 6 months, he gained a pound a week by eating 6,000 calories a day.
Jeez.
Holy shit. And I will say this. The most impressive thing about Secret Origins Wolverine was when he comes out of the tank. I was just like, holy shit! Because that, with the blades and everything, and oh, it's just every inch of him is like muscle. It's like, holy fuck! How do you do that? That was incredible.
Well, if you chart Jackman's, you can actually, I've seen this done on one website, but where they looked at Jackman as Wolverine in every film, and his Wolverine just keeps getting more and more ridiculously cut.
But it works.
It does.
It works. I mean, that was right out of that horrible Weapon X Marvel Spotlight, whatever it was, 24 issue limited series, 5 pages a week nonsense. Sorry. Was it Marvel Spotlight? Whatever that was. That stupid thing where they didn't know how to do an anthology series and should have read more 2000 AD. Anyway.
Yeah.
The one where Sam Keith did all the covers and every character had big feet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Sam Keith. That's like that's like being surprised that Rob Liefeld draws terrible feet.
So are they overcompensating for each other?
There's a Tumblr for you. Put Sam Keith's feet on Rob Liefeld's drawings.
Oh, wow.
Or just put blocks of wood.
Oh, wow. I never realized. Actually, Leverage filmed in Portland for a long time. It just wasn't set in Portland.
No, set in Boston. Yeah. It started filming the second season.
Yeah, yes. Wow. You guys were busy.
I found out they were filming in Portland the day that they filmed the first episode of the second season. Because, not that I expect you to remember this, but there was a car that blew up. And that car blew up right outside my gym.
Wow.
I was on the elliptical when it went boom.
There's a gym in Portland?
Several gyms in Portland, actually.
It seems like that's too trendy for them.
We had it before they were cool.
Oh, okay.
Now they only go to the gym, but it's ironic.
Am I wrong?
Oh, speaking of Portland, guess who is actually in Portland?
Me?
JJ?
Nope, my grandmother.
I'm done guessing.
Wow. Yeah. She left you, Scott?
No, she only left me for a week.
And JJ put her on the phone.
Scott, is she calling every day? Are you making sure the house is clean?
I am making sure the house is clean. She's not calling every day because she trusts me.
How is the crystal egg?
Going to have a party? Going to have a party since Gran's not there? Should have a party. Let's all go to Scott's grand's house.
Hey, Rox, it's going to be called Project
Triplex. If there's going to be a party, it's not going to be that kind of party.
It's a party.
Better not be a Jack and Jill party.
Really? Then, Scott, why did you buy all that plastic sheeting?
Oh, no, never mind.
Well, there ain't no party like your grandma's tea party.
I did tell my grandmother to go to Voodoo Donuts, though.
She'll go in and say, no, why do I want to go into a diabetic shock? Because your gran is that way.
Well, not to mention the line usually sucks.
See, I walked in and walked out of Voodoo Donuts. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Man, I want you to get that tub of
donuts, the day olds.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take them, dude. Yeah.
Hell yes.
We'll take the tub of, day olds.
I have to bring clothing.
I didn't.
We don't carry. It's a con. You buy clothes there. That's what Serve does.
We will
buy and bring an extra luggage, pack the donuts in it. We will all pitch in for the $50 that it costs to check the bag, and you can throw the fucking bag away when you get to Atlanta.
I'm actually flying Alaskan Airlines. It's only $20 for a bag.
I will lick.
Oh, oh, that's it. We're done. We're chipping
we throw
in.
It away.
Done. I'm paid. I'm paying for it.
Done.
Yeah.
We want the day olds.
I don't think you can get the day olds through security.
I will see. Well, if I check it, it doesn't matter, does it?
Check the donuts? Don't check the donuts, for God's sakes. Do not check the donuts.
Completely duct tape the bucket shut and then check the bucket.
I'll see. I, as I've said many times now, I'll see what I can do. It's just a matter of what I can do.
Oh, you fucking genius.
Why does Alaska Airlines fly to Atlanta? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea, but it's a nonstop flight, so it's quite nice.
Holy crap, really?
Damn. And it was $100 less than every other flight I could find.
And
so.
Out of Portland?
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously.
What day are you coming
hold on?
On?
I gotta tune you in. Hold on, Rob. Here you go. All right, go.
All right. I was just telling JJ to make sure I actually get some this year, because the last 2 years I see Lee and it's like, oh, you got Voodoo Donuts. Yeah, that's the last one. They were great.
Rob.
Well, in
I
fairness,
you won.
In fairness to Lee, here's one of the things that happened. I was supposed to, and I did, film a taste test.
Oh, yeah. It was a good taste test. I'll
and,
say that.
You know, somebody might have thought that he had copied the file over to his
computer. Oh, you're kidding, John.
But
really?
Then he may have recorded over the top of it.
Oh.
I don't know who that somebody was, but his name was
John. Do we need to, like, buy you memory chips
Boopel.
And stuff?
What's that?
Do we need to buy you memory chips? Chips.
You just need to buy me Voodoo Donuts. Is all I ask. All
right.
Okay, I'll get the damn donuts.
Day olds, in fact.
Uh-huh. Hey, I'm
but they're gonna be day olds. I have to buy them the day before. I fly out
so,
in the morning.
Well, but we're talking about
dude,
the tub,
we're not
though.
Complain. We're not gonna fucking.
We're not complaining. We're trying to enable this.
We want day olds.
Okay.
Day-olds. The big old tub of Dale.
JJ, you don't understand.
I had seen the last time I went there.
JJ, you don't understand. We don't have access to this amazing natural resource that you have there. You know?
Sublimes aren't bad.
No, you do have sublimes.
Aren't bad, but I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm like, is there anything Atlanta-based that we need to get you? Like, for example, I will just...
An egg biscuit from West Egg.
I'll get you a Coke. And a Delta airline pin.
Wow. Although JJ, I will find some Wild Heaven beer and I will bring that. That's local.
Awesome. Great. No, my friend, after the con, my friend's taking me to Nashville to go see Iron Maiden. I'm good this year. I need nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Wow.
Oh, he perked up.
my buddy Jason, my podcast co-host, was like, let's go to, why don't we make the vacation a little longer, so like 3 days after Dragon Con, Iron Maiden and Megadeth are playing in Atlanta, or excuse me, in Nashville.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. JJ, do you need anything from England?
So, somewhere Tuffley's ears picked up.
So you have a podcast, he asks, giving him an opportunity to promote it.
Well, yes, on the website of Doom, I have a podcast called Mars Needs Podcasts. And also once a month, I do a show with the person who was on this show for 5 seconds, Aaron Poole, called The Website of Doom, where we do commentaries over comic book movies.
Wow, that is interesting.
Why, thank you, sir.
So JJ, is Mars ever going to get podcasts?
You know, I've done over 200 of these suckers. I don't know. I keep going and they just keep needing them.
Oh, okay. Well, they're needy bastards.
They really are.
What about the moms? Did they ever get the moms they needed?
I think, considering how long that movie played in theaters, I think they got moms the first
Mars
day.
Mars needs everything. I mean, look, they stole Santa.
Yep.
And they need women.
And Pia Zadora. They can have her, though.
And the ice cream.
See, and that's the difference between the people that I assumed I was doing a podcast for and the people who seemed to actually listen. I thought that Mars Needs Women and Mars Needs Moms and all this stuff was well known enough that if I called it that, that people would be, you know, would know exactly what I was going for.
No.
Everybody goes, well, that's an odd title. Where'd that come from?
That explains why Pacific Rim is not doing better.
Yeah.
What, because they didn't call it Mars Needs Robots?
No, it's that, you know, the younger crowd doesn't have the appreciation.
Mars Needs Kaiju?
JJ?
Yes.
So if you called it the Iliad, people would flock to it?
Dindrain would.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Rob.
JJ, you some cigars.
Hey, what?
Tune him in, John.
Hold on a second. All right, go ahead.
Do you smoke cigars?
Oh, hold on, wait.
Do I smoke cigars? Oh, no. Sorry.
Okay, well, I can't trade you that.
There we go.
Seriously, this is another thing. If you want anything from England, seriously, let me know.
Okay. If I think of anything, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's always stuff there. You can bring me back Stephen Fry.
Okay, look, if anybody's getting Stephen Fry, it's going to be me.
Okay.
Really? No, I doubt it. No. If anyone gets him, we'll beat me at Rooks and give him this donation.
Hold on.
Hang on, John. Tune him in.
You know what's weird, Widge?
Yeah.
Is that I'm actually reaching out and pretending like I'm tuning a knob. I have no idea why I am doing this, but I have been doing it for like the last hour.
Quiet, Scott. Never mind.
I may be drunk. Sorry. I'm not sure.
You said knob.
He's twirling an imaginary knob.
Although, what would it do to get two tubs?
First of all, we can't be greedy.
First of all, you need to crock it.
No.
Thank you, John.
What I will do is I will see what is available to me. And the next couple of days, I'll send around the mandatory email and get requests. And then I'll see if the thing is the tubs, they only have them when supplies are available. So if they're there, I don't even care
what kind they are.
It's random. We're going to throw this stuff out otherwise bucket.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, see, here's the sad thing about that though, is typically people buy them to give them to the homeless.
Yeah.
So, I don't care.
Well, you know, being we don't care. Dragon Con's like being homeless. If you go to have you ever been to the con suite?
I've never been anywhere at DragonCon.
See, that's the thing, JJ, is that one thing about Prince of Darkness is if Alice Cooper were to show up at Voodoo Donuts as he is lord of the homeless people, then he would brandish his scissors and get whatever donuts he wanted.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure you're not confusing this with Edward Scissorhands?
Wait a minute. No. Okay.
Wanted to make
There's a thing called a quesadilla, the cheese quesadilla parfait that you put into a plastic cup from the con suite. You put some cheese queso into the little cup, and then you put some chips on, and then you put more queso on top of that, and then more chips, and then more queso. Yeah. Rob and I went to the con suite last year.
I have interviewed. Well, actually, I did go to the con suite. I found the con suite only for that filming that then was lost. But outside of that, I could never find it again. I have no idea where it is. I've been going for 12 years.
The second floor.
I understand where. Everyone conceptually tells me where this place is. I have yet to actually find
John, it. John, I'll take you there.
Without an escort, I cannot find it.
I'll take you there. I'll take you there.
I'll take you there.
Hold on a second. Let me
twirl the knob, John.
Let me imaginarily twirl someone's knob.
Jesus. Okay. Sorry. Here, let me try turning up my volume.
What channel are we on, John?
19. Sorry. Everyone is on channel 19.
I'm going to break the podcast. We could make it a stop for the Night of 1,000 Fist Bumps. I don't think we went there last year.
Yeah, we did. We did go there last. Oh no, would we didn't go. We went like the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to go, John. It's fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's fun to people watch.
Yeah. Yes. It is. And you can get free soda.
I'm not going to go. Forget it.
Oh, come on. John.
I refuse to now.
Free booze. Why?
And other things.
And it's okay, John. You'll find it when you need to. It's Khan's room of requirement.
I was thinking it's part of your bucket list, man.
It's more like Brigadoon, I think.
You know what? Witch? You're kind of right. There are some people that like hang out in con suites, and I've seen this at other conventions. Yeah. So I hope there's one at DreamCon, because maybe I'll just hang out at the con suite all weekend long. There are people that hang out in con suites all weekend long.
I would hang out there if Gene Kelly was there.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't get that. Someone help me.
No one's going to.
It's a musical thing. You wouldn't understand.
I was in Xanadu. I was in tons of musicals.
No, Scott.
Whoa, Scott. Where did that come from?
Scott, somebody's going to revoke your membership.
What, just Xanadu? No. All I can say is now we are here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is here Eastbound Down?
Although I will say this. Wait a minute, John.
Yes, sir.
What I want, just think of it this way, friends. In an alternate universe, much stranger than ours, the Gene Kelly role in Xanadu was played by Jerry Reed.
Ooh.
And remember, Michael Beck was in Megaforce.
Yeehaw! Wow, John, I can't believe you're playing that. That's truly outrageous.
Oh, JJ, son of a bitch!
Widge? Widge? Hey, Widge?
What, Rob? Wait, Rob, hang on. Hey, John!
Yes?
Rock Lobster!
Oh, shit!
Oh, no!
That's what I was going to do, actually. Woo!
Rock Lobster.
I feel so welcome now.
Yeah.
I think I may have came. In a podcast sense.
Gin is bad for you, John. Gin is very bad for you.
Jesus Christ. What the hell was that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either. I wish I had some gin now.
Oh. That was the Misfits. Their songs are better. and that's another thing. In an alternate reality, the Misfits and Jem was actually played by the Misfits.
You know, that would be awesome.
That would actually be great.
And actually, in an alternate universe, I was a Misfit toy for all the Misfits.
Wait a minute. Apparently, the Misfits, at least one version of them, is still around. So I think we should do a Kickstarter to get them to cover an album of the Misfits tracks.
Oh, yeah. Although, you're going to have a hard time getting better than the animated video for Skulls.
Wow.
Yeah, see, if that was Danzig.
Ow.
If that was Glenn Danzig, it would be more like, "We are the Misfits. Our songs are better."
John, I'm just going to say this to you.
Yes.
That is my Moscow airport.
Oh, that's great. Jim is my name. No one else is the same.
You know what's scary?
I had to put a button on it. Sorry.
Comedy rule of three. That was a good place to end.
The scary thing is that girl went on to be in the band Luna.
I thought she was. I thought that was Carly Jimson.
No, Britta Phillips.
By the way, have you seen the video of her pitch?
What?
Yes.
She's played baseball.
Well, she was here in St. Petersburg, and
yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty bad.
Oh my God. I encourage you to go look it up because it is Sports Illustrated called the worst throw of all time.
No, she should have been supported by the Roots. That's when she's the best.
Oh my God! If it had been Jem and the Roots, that would have been great. But here's what I think. I think instead of the holograms, you have the Roots, and instead of Jem, you have Jem, son of Saturn. You know I'm right. You know I'm right.
Let's see.
If Grant Morrison can break him out, so can I.
Well, then why don't we just go ahead and have Amethyst and Crystar while we're at it?
Oh! League of Extraordinary, only slightly crystal-based heroes.
Now, which I mean this in the sense of it, in the nicest sense possible, but even you could throw better than this.
wow.
This pitch that she threw.
Wow.
I encourage you to go look at that and then play the video because it is horrible.
That is hard.
Scott feel better than that?
What's that?
Can Scott feel better than that?
Hold on, let me tune you in. Try it again. All right, go ahead.
All right. Can Scott throw better than that?
I believe so. Yeah. It is the second worst travesty to happen out of Florida this week.
Oh, wow. That is a bad pitch.
Maybe
I have to. I have to get through this fucking Geico commercial. I really want the Chick-fil-A cows to like step on. What in? Oh my God!
It is
at least
horrible.
She's smart enough to be embarrassed by it.
I know.
What in the?
I don't know where she was looking.
Wait, but see, here's the problem: is that because she's originally? Oh, they're just going to show as many replays of this as they possibly can.
Even the catcher didn't know where to go. He's like, wait, no, over here? No.
You know, this just goes to my theory, John, that she's actually from Innsmouth and the suckers on her hand stuck to the ball.
Yeah, if you're going to do something like that, you should try it and throw at least one.
You know what?
Just one trial pitch.
You know what?
First.
That is the Roseanne Barr singing the national anthem of pitches.
Ooh.
Yes.
Damn.
Wow.
God.
What is the opposite of outrageous? Because it's truly that.
Inrageous?
Craptacular?
It's inrageous. Craptacular. Wow. That's not right. All right, so we should probably lurch towards recommendations after that. We recommend don't get Jem to throw out a pitch. I thought you, were talking about a
Jem.
Pitch like Richard Hatch was pitching for Battlestar Galactica. I thought, live-action Jem movie. I'm like, what? Anyway, I don't know. So, recommendations. Who wants to go first?
Make the new guy go.
Okay, go, Rox. Oh, you spoke up. I was just, no. All right, fine, new guy. What does Mars needs for recommendations?
Okay, well, I would recommend, first and foremost, if you haven't read any of Portland writer Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye, do it. It's amazing. It is basically...
I just heard Kim squeeing from the beach. Oh, sorry.
It's as if Marvel is doing an independent comic with one of their big characters and just letting somebody do something you would not expect with a character like Hawkeye. Or Hawk Guy. It's truly brilliant work. The other thing I would recommend is the new Black Sabbath album. I have kind of given up on Ozzy Osbourne in recent years, but this one's produced by Rick Rubin. And who knew that Ozzy could still sing? It's absolutely amazing work. I wish personally, because I'm a big Geezer Butler fan, that the bass was mixed a little bit better. But all in all, it's not an album that I would have thought coming from those guys.
Wow, the new guy comes in strong.
Yeah.
Ding.
I loved his work on the South Park album.
What did he do on the South Park album?
He did the song. Hang on a second. It was he did a song with Crystal Method, DMX, Old Dirty Bastard, and Fuzzbubble.
Oh wow! How did I miss this?
You didn't know this? It's fucking great. It's called Nowhere to Run. Find it immediately.
I will. Yeah, because see, the thing is, in many of the last albums that Ozzy has done, his voice has been so doubled and reverbed to hell and back that I mean anybody could sing and do an Ozzy song. But Rick Rubin has managed to do what he always does with his performers, and when especially the first tracks, he gets a little reverby towards the end, but the first like three or four tracks on the album are just Ozzy peeling the paint off the studio with his voice, and nice. It's really, really strong work. I mean, I kind of feel the album falls apart a little at the end, but the beginning is so good that you can't help but recommend it, because it's solid work.
Nice. But the other song on Chef Aid that I really like is Maze, Puffy, Lil Kim, and System of a Down do a song together, which is sort of just gloriously crazy. The lead singer of System of a Down just coming out on the chorus and just shouting along with them is just, I don't know, it just makes me happy. But yeah, so there's part of my recommendation. All right, so JJ's dinged. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Yeah,
I'll go. I'm reading a really cool book, Thieves of Book Row, by Travis McDade. It's about the book gangs of New York. I read this other book that was produced by the Grolier Club about this guy in the 19th century who actually stole like almost $1 million worth of books back in the day. He was a doctor. He would go in and steal from his friends, and they never prosecuted the guy.
Wait. Rock's book gangs?
Book gangs, yeah. Apparently, one of the big things was even back in the around 19 when the New York Public Library was built, they actually made sure that they had a rare book section. Unlike most libraries, the rare book section had always had a really good form of security. And at the time, one of the books that they had was a first edition Edgar Allan Poe poem book. And this guy from the Carolinas comes in and attempts to steal this book and then pass it off on to, you know, somebody in the lower, you know, down and through Chelsea and stuff. So there were like a series of people who would go in and steal from other, you know, collections and stuff. And there's a big underground market for a long time. The interesting thing is after going to the antiquarian book fair and stuff, it's interesting the amount of money that does flow in and out of the whole rare book and collectible book collection. So, the cool thing is I sort of got turned on by this because, there's a magazine called Fine Books, and they mentioned this book. So I actually found it. So, and the thing is stealing books is a lot easier than, you know, stealing a painting and stuff. And most collectors are the kind of quintessential, what you would see as, you know, the movie type villains that collect stuff. And it's sort of funny. I was talking to a client of mine, and she's another book person. She's like, oh yeah. She goes, you can go into, you know, rich people's homes and they'll have like, you know, books on their shelves that are worth, you know, thousands of dollars. And you don't really notice nobody, unless you're a book person, you know, you go into people's homes, you don't really, most people don't look at what people own. So the underground market for stealing books is pretty big. Anyway, this is about the turn of the century that, you know, book theft was pretty, you know, you can make a coat with a lining that you can slip a, you know, a small folio, and they're portable.
You know, it's not like getting the Copernicus book, which was like, I don't know, 20 pounds or something. It's an amazing book. And carting it off, you know, stealing books is pretty much relatively an easy thing to do. And I mean, libraries always fought this anyway of people just going in and stealing books. Cause they have a certain amount of money. This I know as a Friends of a Library branch. I'm on the board of directors. They have a certain amount of money that it's amazing where you, if you are a book person, you know, the limited edition stuff, libraries do get those at a pretty decent price. And all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a book that, you know, is at least a $50, $60 limited edition book starting out. So, collectors really do target libraries on theft. So anyway, it's really interesting that there was like this whole network of people who would go around and steal, you know, books, and then they go underground and they're done until, you know, an Antiques Roadshow of like, oh, I have this book, you know, unlike paintings, which are more visible, you know, and harder to, pass off in the crime world, if you will. So anyway, the book is Thieves of Book Row, New York's most notorious rare book and ring. Theft ring. So what else have I got? Oh, I bought a new GE refrigerator. Freezer and refrigerator. Brand new. It's
wow.
Awesome. Yes, I'm thrilled.
I actually have too many bodies in the other one?
Well, yeah. Okay. But see, now I have a fully area for cheese, a cheese drawer.
Well, it was the rot that was kind of getting to her because it wasn't cooling enough. So
yeah, it wasn't cooling. Oh, my God. Yeah. The whole thing was just, you know, plus my electric bill went down $20 a month.
Well, there you go.
There you go. So a GE refrigerator. It's black. It's good. Nice refrigerator. What else do I got? I guess I can throw in Why We Buy by Paco Underhill. Another, it's weird. I always read nonfiction during the summer. Everybody else goes for fiction. I go for nonfiction. It's an interesting take on the science of shopping. You know, why we buy, how stores lure you to buy stuff. Do you know that there is a rise in the last couple of years of cyber shopping, of drunk cyber shopping, that people would go home, pour themselves a drink, and then all of a sudden they're shopping drunk.
I am very well aware of that.
Okay, there you go. That's covered in this book. I'm done.
So is my Visa card.
Ooh.
And there you have it.
Yes.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Scott.
I have here a nice little book called The Nazi Occult, written by
Kenneth Haidt. A nice little
book. Ooh, written by the History Channel.
No, Kenneth Haidt. Awesome.
Yes. And it's a nice little, it's published by
Austin. It's a quaint little book about the Nazis.
No, you have to understand, Kenneth Haidt writes really amazing stuff.
About the Nazi occult.
No, about everything crazy.
Oh, yeah. And the book
I just
is
think
very
adjectives
nice
don't mean what you think they mean.
He is a Daniel Cohen for adults, basically.
I don't understand what we're talking.
Somebody
about.
Will get that.
Okay.
Right
and
in on
what
a
I was
going to
say is this is a nice little primer on the Nazis and how they experimented and tried to use the occult to bolster their cause and stuff. And if you ever want to know the difference between the Fool Society and the Albernach, this is the book for you. It's not in depth as I would have liked, but it's a nice primer for people who are just sort of trying to figure out, you know, all the various whys and wherefores of the weird shit Nazis got up to.
Is it as hard to figure out as the movie primer? Thank you.
And that's it for me. Done.
Now, Scott, I must say, yeah, I was in Tallahassee on my way up to Atlanta, and I found the Mickey Faust Club. I did not know I was going to be finding the Mickey Faust Club. One does not simply find the Mickey Faust Club, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But my daughter was completely fascinated by that whole entire little district area there. And having lived in Tallahassee for 2 years, I had no idea it even existed.
Well, when were you in Tallahassee?
The day after 4th of
July.
No,
I meant you said 2 years. That's what I meant. Like what?
Oh, 1991 through 3. Or 92
okay,
through 4.
Okay. 92 through 4. I know Railroad Score is there. I don't know if it was set up like it is now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because we're actually looking for the Cosmic Cat, and I was like, whoa, wait, there's Mickey
Mouse. Oh, yeah, that's in the same area.
Yeah, and I don't know what the heck happened to the Cosmic Cat, but that's a whole other story that we can talk about some other time.
But,
I'm sorry.
When did you say you were here?
I didn't know that First Friday was going on, but I was there First Friday of July. So I would
have. Well, shit, so was I. I was there.
Well, I didn't actually go. I didn't know that it was going on until after the fact. I was actually there Friday morning, Friday afternoon, like at 2 o'clock or something like that.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, First Friday is like the where all the various things in Railroad Square, like all the whatchamacallit.
It's a big art fair block party, right?
Kinda. It basically all the galleries and little shops and little places open up their places and people walk around and there are like food trucks and all sorts of shit like that.
Big bowls of keys, you know.
Yeah.
You
know, as you do.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, John.
Yes, sir.
Did you say that it was Jem who threw out that pitch?
Oh,
it was truly outrageous.
No. But were you saying that that was the woman who played Jem?
No. That's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Where did you get? Did you see her pitch from Jem? How did we get from Jem to that pitch?
Because JJ said truly, truly outrageous, and that just started.
I don't know.
I was just asking because I was like, wait a minute, that's not her.
Are you asking to hear the song again? Is that what you're asking?
No! I'm not asking to hear the song again. Because
what I'm hearing in my head is that you're asking.
John, I cannot take responsibility for whatever you hear inside your head. God knows I can't.
To hear.
Your therapist and I have a discussion about this that's ongoing, and I have told him and told him to up the voltage, but he won't. Listen to me. So anyway.
I am hearing.
No, you're not.
That you want to hear.
No.
Recommendations.
No, Rob, what's your recommendation? Quick.
My first thing I wanted to recommend.
Oh, well, I thought you wanted to hear a different
book.
Song from Jem then.
No, hang on. I can't. John!
You didn't want to hear Beat This by Jem?
I know that Scott would like to make a joke about Beat This, but beyond that, no.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Because I have it right here.
I know you do. John, your ability to have Jem at your fingertips is quite frightening.
Well, you know, I will prove to you, though, that the Misfits songs are actually better by playing this song.
Okay, who kidnapped the Human League? I'm just saying. Okay, Don, I don't...
Yes, sir?
I think your definition of better is slightly frightening.
Yes.
I think rather it's just as shit, but in a different way.
I have to pee.
Now so, that's a sequitur.
So, Rob, your recommendation. He's going to go have a something.
Good.
I'm not even going to make
it. I want to recommend a book called Super Pop, Pop Culture Top 10 List by Daniel Harmon. It's kind of designed for, younger people, but it's pretty cool. They got these, like, it's surprisingly cooler than you would think it would be for a book of top 10 lists, but they've got, like, top 10 speeches worth heeding, best sources of Americanitude. They've got there is nothing on Jem in here, by the way. They have parties that you.
Well, you want to hear another Jem song? Is that what I heard?
No, I do not. So that's a really good little book on popular culture that's out right now. And then I do want to recommend if you're a fan of Death from Above, or the Raisinettes or Best Coast, you might want to check out Bass Drum of Death, which of course is a great name. They sort of have that whole like surf dirge thing going on. The album's called 2013 and it's really great. And then going on the completely other end of the spectrum is a really nice album from Austria called Olympia. They're British, and it's sort of like a really, if you're a fan of Portishead or some of that like sort of ethereal trip hop stuff, you'll like this. It's kind of got that sort of melody thing going on, but it's got a little bit more guitar stuff in it, but it's really, really nice. It's called Olympia by Astra. And then I don't know if Tuffley had mentioned this or not, but the new album by Future Bible Heroes called Party Going. It's just basically Stephen Merritt and Claire Gonson with the synthesizer making short 3-minute songs with that bitter voice of his. And there's a great song on there that rocks with light called Drink Nothing But Champagne, in which Stephen Merritt does a dead-on David Bowie voice and does a dead-on Anton LaVey voice right after it. And then
nice.
Keep Your Children in a Coma is also quite fun, too. So that's it for me. Ding.
Cool. John, are you still peeing?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let us know when you're done. Good.
I will tell you this, that for a mere $55.99, you can buy Gem and the Holograms, a truly outrageous complete series on DVD, right from Amazon. And, you know, I don't often browse and shop drunk, but when I do, I use needcoffee.com/Amazon.
I don't... Which, are we that desperate for cash that we will accept... People
yes.
buying.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I was just going to mention that since John has been peeing this entire time, they also sell Depend undergarments on Amazon.
Well, if you want to, you could actually break up the seasons. You could buy season one individually for $13, season three for $13, and season two for $20. The reason why season two is so much more expensive, it really was where Jim hit her stride, and those episodes are truly outrageous.
Well, and when Jem died at the end of season two, I couldn't believe they used such a cheesy excuse to bring her back for three. The three just never worked for me.
You are correct, sir.
Well, now the fact that she came back as Dark Jem, that was just not right.
Yes. Yes, and. I'm drunk.
I wish I was. All right. So, John, thank you. You're absolutely correct. If you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, bookmark that, memorize it, tattoo it on your dog, whatever. That is the URL that when you go there, it looks like you've just gone to the front page of Amazon, which you have. But the difference is that we get kickbacks on whatever you buy. Or if you want to just search from Need Coffee, that's fine, too. There's an Amazon search bar on the right-hand side of pretty much every page on the site. So my recommendations. First, I will recommend The Ocean at the End of the Lane, which had been mentioned before, because at the time it was mentioned before, I had not read it yet. But I listened to the audiobook, and it is absolutely fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Both as a book and an audiobook. Neil Gaiman reading anything is pretty fucking awesome. But this book is intense. And there is some things in there that are truly devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, just like fucked up, devastatingly wonderful. And
for a second, I thought you were going to say outrageous.
Wonderfully, Scott.
Wow, even I wasn't going to scrape the barrel that low.
Don't but tempt me.
It's JJ?
Scott.
JJ, this is Scott. Scott, JJ. But anyway, so yes, I would recommend either the book or the audiobook or both.
It's cool.
Apparently. Michael, what's that?
Oh, I was just pointing out.
It's war. I'm not fucking kidding.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Also, Michael Sheen did a recording of the book, apparently, for the BBC radio Book at Bedtime. I don't know if it's unabridged or not, but it looks like it could be about the same length because the audiobook was only about 6 hours, I think, if I remember correctly. But anyway, all of that is good stuff. I would also recommend, Rob, you would appreciate this. I found an album called Songs of the Maori by the Maniapoto Voices, which is a bunch of Maori songs that I don't remember when it was actually originally released, but they're fucking amazing. I don't know if it's the site that I looked up to remember what it was called is from New Zealand, because I don't have it here in front of me. So I don't know if it's New Zealand or what, but it's genius. I'd also recommend a band I discovered called The Candle Thieves, which is just pop nonsense wonderment. Their album Balloons. And of course, because I discovered them, I learned very shortly afterwards that they had broken up. I do that to bands. I'm sorry. So yes, I think that might be everything that I have. I think so. So yes. So go find any of that stuff and it will be your friend. Well, there you have it. We blew through recommendations pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not displeased.
There's a first time for everything.
I know. All right. I mean, is everyone feeling all right? And John, yeah. You're drunk even.
I believe I am, yes.
Maybe that's the problem, is that you've been too sober.
That's possible.
That is possible.
I would agree with you, except for my job disagrees with you.
But anyway, yes, so that, I guess, brings us to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And you know, I know we skipped a week, and I felt the lack in that week, because I wanted that moment in which we all sort of stand around and stare dumbfoundedly at each other, looking back across the shambles of 3 hours or so, and we say, just like every week, we say, not Jem.
Not Jem.
So not Jem.
I refuse, totally Jem. I refuse to not say not Jem.
That was worth it just to hear John try to say it while drunk.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about. What?
Exactly.
Says who?
All I can say is I'm burning. So, there you go.
I still got to pee.
Are you not done yet?
I'm old. It takes a while. It takes a while to get started. It's like starting a lawnmower that's been in the garage for 3 months.
Or that scene from Austin Powers.
Takes a couple pulls before it gets going.
Whoa, hang on.
Isn't that how you do it?
Wait a minute. Did you remember to oil it?
That's how my camp counselor taught me.
Oh, wow.
Is this the same camp counselor that's going to be teaching Kidlet?
Wait a minute. Is it a camp counselor or a counselor who happens to be camp?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
I was just checking.
Oh. Things and words are being said.
Well, that's done. That's fine.
That's what's happened. You have some editing to do, sir.
A bit. I get to carve off the first 3 hours of it.
And we're only at 3 hours and 6 minutes.
I know.
God bless you, sir.
Enjoy your 6 minute podcast.
Shortest Weekend Justice ever.
It's a Weekend Justice haiku.
Mm-hmm. What the hell was that? Did someone just go through the little suction tube thingy?
Yeah.
Somebody just punched a hole in space and time.
No,
Superboy, what are you doing?
I was drinking and you made me laugh.
Somebody just exited through the vacuum tube like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I've always wanted to travel by pneumatic tube. I always thought that'd be fun.
You used a big
suffocate.
Word.
I can hold my breath for a second. Those checks used to get into the bank really quick when my mom would drop them in.
God, and that's all you need is getting stuck, and then you're dead.
Where's your mom getting the checks from?
I never knew.
You know, I pulled this cruel trick on my mom.
Oh, let's hear that.
When we were in I used to live in an apartment across the street from, I think it was a cash and carry. And we went in there one day, and then my mom was writing a check, and I was saying, Mom, what are you doing? What are you writing a check for? She goes, I need to pay for the groceries. And this is in front of the cashier. But I thought that was for dad's bail. Well, but Dad, you can leave Dad in jail?
How old were you?
I was 6 years old.
Oh, my God, John.
Wow, John.
I was still in kindergarten.
Man.
You were a six-year-old asshole.
Holy shit.
A six-year-old douchebag.
How did she not drown you when she had the chance?
I,
She wasn't outside a lot.
Well, we were living in an apartment and didn't have a pool, so she couldn't. Later.
Oh, trust me, moms can find a way. Take it from someone who had to grow gills. Moms can find a way.
A child can drown in 2 inches of water in the bathtub.
Yeah, so my mom was totally terrified. So.
Especially when held there.
Yes.
Yes. That's those book gangs. They just pile books on top of you in the bathtub.
Yes.
It reminds me that when we first got to Atlanta and I was moving into the apartment, my mom was helping me move in, and we called my grandmother, her mom, who, as I've mentioned before, if no matter what you wanted to do, she knew someone who had gotten killed doing it. So she was very concerned about everything.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. So we got into the apartment, and then we realized that there was a gas leak in the apartment.
Awesome.
I knew somebody that died of a gas leak.
But so here's the thing. But that
didn't concern her at all.
No,
she knows then with a gas leak, a building can explode.
But wait. No, here's the best part. So I call my grandmother. I'm on the phone with my grandmother talking about how, oh, yeah, everything here. We had the windows open and they were sending somebody out to fix it. It was no big deal. But it was like, so I'm talking on the phone to my grandmother. Oh, yeah, no, everything's fine. Everything's great. My mom, her daughter in the background starts going, like she's suffocating, awesome. Like she can't breathe, like the gas is fucking killing her.
Awesome.
So I can't breathe because I'm laughing so hard and then trying not to reveal that I'm laughing hard to my grandmother. So finally I was like, all right, well, hey, let me let you talk to mom. So I hand off the phone to mom, who's laughing, and then I start doing the same thing in the background to her. So we were just basically just trying to mess with each other.
Trying to kill your grandmother.
I have never met your mom, and I want to marry her.
That would be awkward.
It would be, certainly for my wife.
Yeah, and for my mom.
Possibly your dad. Who knows?
Possibly.
Things would get really weird.
But yeah, that's my mom in a nutshell for you. And I did tell you the other story that is the character note about my mom, right?
No.
About the yearbook photo?
No.
Yeah. You remember when they added retouching to high school yearbook photos?
No. Like getting rid of zits and stuff. Yeah.
So my mom was
sure I did not pay for that, or I could not afford it, one or the other.
Well, my mom was writing out the check for the yearbook photo and said, oh, I tacked on an extra $5. See if you can get them to fix your nose.
Wow. Man, you know what? I wish I knew that at the time because I would have had my mom's, like, put a fencing scar on her face. I would have had something
that
like that.
Oh, just, that would have been awesome.
It's like, wow.
Would it be a picket fencing scar or just a...
No, okay. No. The show, that TV show was not that bad, John.
Oh.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Michael Jeter, come on.
Tom Skerritt.
Yeah.
Tom Skerritt, who I always
and
wanted
Zelda
to play Dr. Strange.
And Zelda Rubinstein.
Oh, weird.
I always thought that Tom Skerritt in his heyday in like the 80s would have made a great Dr. Strange.
It's so hard to see him not old.
I know. He's way too old for it. But I think he was a better choice than they're talking to, apparently, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's too young.
Yeah.
How old is Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be Intern Strange at best.
20.
Resident Strange.
He's 32.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been around for as long as I've been alive. How is he only 32?
I mean, he did get a start pretty young on Third Rock in the Sun.
I love that show. And yet I can't really watch Big Bang Theory.
I think that's how old 32 is how old what's her name? Skater Boy chick.
Well, wait a minute. Now, Rocks, I think the difference is that Third Rock from the Sun was actually funny.
It was funny. Chick.
Whereas Big Bang Theory is not.
No, it's not.
Big Bang Theory does not have John Lithgow.
No. Doesn't.
Sadly,
and it
isn't
a geek minstrel show.
A geek minstrel show. Wow, Scott. Scott, the country's trying
all
to
they
heal.
Need to say is
Scott. 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 Scott.
Yes.
The country's trying to heal. Just drop it. Just drop okay. it. The psychopath is talking, Scott. Okay, just.
First of all, you're not a psychopath. You're a sociopath. There's a difference.
Yeah, I know there is.
Sherlock! Okay, well, thank you for letting me stumble backwards into an episode of Weekend Justice.
I would rather have a psychopath than a homeopath. That's all I'm saying.
Hey.
That's good stuff done. Homeopaths don't do shit.
Yeah, really.
Well, never mind.
What?
Never mind.
And this is for someone who worked for almost a decade in a co-op. Homeopaths are crap.
Well, doesn't everyone in Portland have to work in a co-op at some point or another?
I actually worked for a co-op in Mississippi.
What?
Yeah. When it was burning.
What kind of co-op? Food co-op?
It was a vegan restaurant / vegan grocery store.
Oh, and
it didn't survive in Mississippi?
Did you get, like, crappy
I'm shocked.
Food? Did you get food?
Did they set it on fire?
We had a restaurant that was one of the best vegan restaurants I've ever eaten at or worked in. It's one of the cleanest restaurants I ever worked in. And
no one was
has
there.
It survived, it's thrived. It's like 6 times bigger than it was. When I first started working there, it was basically in a garage. And when I left, they bought an old grocery store.
Wait, hold on. So you're telling me, and you're expecting me to believe it, that it's still alive and kicking in Mississippi.
Rainbow Whole Foods co-op.org, I believe, is the website. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of words. I don't think there's enough. I don't think that URL goes that big.
Oh, it's even worse. I think I don't remember the full name of the place is Rainbow Whole Foods Cooperative Grocery.
I don't believe you. It cannot possibly exist in Mississippi. I'm not going to bother checking it because I'm pretty sure you made the website.
That's fine. I also worked for a Jewish delicatessen in Mississippi that had been around for 32 years before the owner died and they closed the place.
Again. See, John?
Lies.
John, I just went to rainbowwholefoods.com because .org wasn't there. And when I click on it, it takes me to Australia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hang on. I'm going to find this thing real quick. Now I was about to sign off, but now I'm.
Oh, my God. You're going to keep us here. You're the new guy. You can't do this.
I'm not kidding. No.
Realize for him, it's only like six in the evening.
It's 8:30.
Oh, that's right.
Not with a time differential, it's not.
If he's secretly in
Australia. Oh, my God, that means you didn't work today.
Wait a minute. If he's secretly in Australia, it's actually like tomorrow at 2 p.m. or something.
It's like Thursday.
I know.
We're in the future.
And we're recording this on a Friday.
Oh, my God. Give us some lottery numbers if you're in the future.
God, we're all going to die. I don't know.
Did you find it, new guy? Did you find it?
Yes.
The psychopath is asking you a question.
And I answered it. I answered it by putting up the thing.
Rainbow coop. So they have different
rainbow
colored chickens.
Coop. This could be anywhere. I don't buy it. It could
rainbow coop.
This website was done in Front Page. So,
oh wow!
I don't believe that it was.
I will say it is the website used to be better. This is a shitty website.
I think it was done in NetObjects Fusion.
All right, so now jokes. We're making fun of websites. So let's go. Just stop.
My girlfriend is headed home. I gotta clean the house. No, I'm off going. I was not trying to keep you guys here.
I still don't believe that there's a Jewish delicatessen in Mississippi.
It's
there
not.
Is.
It's what?
Not anymore. It's gone. He said it's gone. John, pay attention,
owner,
old guy.
How very convenient.
By the name of Irving Feldman has passed away, and they closed it after he
sure,
passed.
Sure, there was a guy named Irving Feldman.
Hey, John, the country's trying to heal.
Can you be more racist?
That's even worse. He was only about 5'3" and looked like a hobbit.
Whoa.
Why so much hate in your life?
Hey, Middle Earth's trying to heal, new guy.
If it makes you feel better, the woman who hired me for my first job when I moved to Portland drove up on her Harley, was dressed in full leathers, had just like cropped black hair.
Well, that makes sense. That I'll believe. It's Portland. Well,
that ties it back to Middle Earth perfectly. Well done, Dave.
Okay, well, anyway, Thanks for letting me stumble into a show. I will talk to you guys later.
See
you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Gandalf rides more. Give me just a minute while I clarify. Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Oh, is he gone?
He's gone.
Hopefully he is.
Damn it. He's Don't gone. Leave the door open again, John.
Sorry. I thought.
Stray cats, man.
Wait, he might not be gone. Hold on, wait.
Wait, no.
I have a problem with Brian Setzer all the time, okay?
I know. I thought it was the pizza we ordered. My fault. It won't happen again. All right, I'm going to go eat the pizza now, and John needs to pee, and hopefully not on the pizza.
Is the pizza a euphemism?
Scott, your grandmother's calling.
From Portland.
She has not gone. She's coming back. She owns the house. She ain't giving up on the house.
She is JJ's girl.
Watch it.